Good morning, everybody. Wake up. 5 weeks off, we're back doing something good, so it's a completely different type of show than usual.
I know, really.
You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being stuffed into your locker.
Yes, stinks. It is.
If you want to join the conversation, the best way to do so is to go to the chat room on davincomedy.com. I should probably open that up soon. I should probably get over there. I'll do that in a second. Today is a special show as we are live on location at the Success Martial Arts Dojo in Central Valley, New York. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. As always, I am, well, I'll be joined momentarily by Joe Give Me Your Lunch Money Curry and Pip Atomic Wedgie Helix.
Hey, you know what? Can I get business cards written up with that say that?
You can get business cards written up with whatever you want. You just need to walk around with the atomic wedgie.
Oh, no. Okay, I skip that.
Oh, there's Joe Give Me Your Lunch Money Curry. He's walking in now as we speak. We also have Chip Ambrosio in studio from Basement Chronicles.
Wow, it is great to see the inner workings of this show.
Thank you. We'll get to Chip in a little while. We don't need your sarcasm, mister.
Yes, we do.
It's just the way you put this together. Jeff to Asper.
You know what? I'm going to go into his basement and raid the Chronicles.
Right.
I'll ruin your show, mister. You have no idea. I've been ruining this one.
I can do that myself.
You certainly can.
All right. I will not be moderating chat because my computer is like my act.
But
5 minutes and it died.
So five weeks off and Joe still can't use his computer.
Oh, no.
Well, I needed to bring a plug to plug it into electricity, which I left at home.
So, yeah, we're going to have some special guests. I believe the band McClinton will be stopping by.
They'll be here in about, probably about 25 minutes or so.
We'll have some of the senseis. My daughter will be making her radio debut as
Yay.
Well.
Yay.
But, you know, today we're here in support of Success Martial Arts Board Breakathon.
Yeah.
And this is to fight bullying. The rules go where you get you get people to sponsor you at $5 a board.
Right.
So they sponsor board. You got to break it. The good news is we got, as a team, Team Davin's Den, over $500 in donations.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
Thank you. Yes, you know what?
Impressive.
Yes,
impressive.
For us.
Thank you. The bad news is we have to break over 100 boards.
Oh, you know?
Gosh.
I don't know how
what
we're going
are we
to do
thinking?
This.
I don't.
I didn't understand it. So if I make the donation, I have to break that?
No, we have to break it because you sponsored us.
Yeah.
Also, Chip, who made a very nice donation, is like, you know what? Let me raid the savings account.
Yeah. but not for nothing. If the board five, you're coming in.
We're tagging in.
Where would you think I'm wearing a cast for 5 weeks? You're out of your mind.
Well, we're going to have some of the senseis helping us, some of their instructors.
Oh, good.
I believe it's like five boards equal one brick. So there might be some bricks breaking and everything because we can't do all that.
I'm not breaking a brick.
We know you're not. We tried that once before.
I'll break wind. I'll break balls, but I'm not breaking a brick.
Actually, you made out the worst with that because you were really going for the gold, and I thought your hand was broken, man.
But what a moment it was.
It was a moment.
We made Kumia laugh his balls off, and really.
Five boards equal one brick. Is there like a chart, a conversion?
I don't know. It might be metric, so it really doesn't count in this country. I don't know.
Have to break a brick and a quarter.
Basically, the conversation went down like, listen, we can't break all this stuff. You guys break some bricks. What's that? And they pulled some number out of their ass. That's what they
okay. Do.
I mean, it might be a very real number. I don't know.
But it was exciting watching them do that.
Yes, it was very
pull
good.
It out.
I get a funny feeling $500 is going to like equal thousands of dollars of medical bills.
That's very
casts
funny.
Everybody
and
covered.
Broken bones and femurs.
That's very funny.
Yeah, right.
It's for a good cause. Just remember, for every broken finger you have, a kid can learn how to fight a bully.
Yeah.
That's right.
Of course, I have a feeling we got bullied into this. I think the senseis were going to kick our butts if we didn't do this.
Actually,
it was going to be throat chops.
Actually, I think the show is going to be lectured the hardest. Yeah. I'm not being bullied.
I don't think we're bullied. Well, I bully
to each other.
Terrible.
The way that you actually stop. I don't bully. Well, I bully him.
Yes, you need it. You have no self motivation.
Sometimes words hurt.
Sometimes boards and bricks hurt too.
I can't wait. Actually, it was
a very good question by Sensei Fardico, our pal. What station do you broadcast on?
Oh, so
well, it's not on terrestrial radio. We're not with them anymore. So to them,
yeah.
What you got to go to is you got to go to davincomedy.com. That's my website. Then you go to the Davin's Den page, and you can watch and listen to us on Levy Land.
Yes.
You can go to Cyanet Radio. You can go to the Hit Zone Radio. You can go to
Clutch and Wiggle.
You can go to our pals Clutch and Wiggle, who also made a nice donation to us.
It's very simple and user-friendly.
You can listen on Wicked, although I don't know if we're on the air right now. Joe, can you write that down for Sensei Fardico while I try to run a show badly?
I'll try to monitor the chat.
Did you get onto our website?
I am.
Well, God bless you.
Did you bring a power cord like somebody didn't?
I love having two out of three people who are competent. It's one more person than I'm used to dealing with, so this is much better. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's that. That's the notes. So this is all about bullying.
Yes.
Sensei Fredico is monitoring us right now. He's threatening us with nunchucks. It's very scary.
I'm scared.
I feel like I'm being bullied right now.
No. Sensei looks like a tough guy, but I know he's a marshmallow on the inside.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want that in your back pocket when he's in a valley.
I have.
Makes me look like a marshmallow on the outside.
Somebody's bringing funny to the show.
No, I have hugged this man. I know he's okay.
Yeah, I've hugged this man. You've hugged Joe too, but he's miserable.
Yeah,
but not miserable because I hugged him.
Well, a little bit.
But I'm miserable, and I'm actually coming to the show to get unmiserable.
Wow.
That tells you what your life's been, but we're not going to do that tonight.
Right, this will be a discussion for Tuesday.
I will tell you, we have not seen each other in, like, weeks, and Pip gave, like, me a hug, and I was very confused.
He actually, like flinched.
I didn't know if you were going to stab me or trying to pick my pockets. I didn't know what – this unbridled affection is not what I am used to. Also, see if you can get in the Levy Land chat, too. The Levy Land chat.
I also
StickCam.com. Search Levy
Land. I made a confession to Davin. I admitted that I missed him. And usually I would think I would miss warm liver and milk more. But apparently I'm this stupid over here.
Well, I miss you too, Joe. But we're not going to do that now either. This is about karate.
That's
toughness.
Right.
Not a bunch of homos walking on the beach together, holding hands, looking at a sunset.
With Always Would Forever playing?
Of course.
That's bullying.
I could just see us walking. Take my hand, stupid.
I like how we're talking about bullying, but we're making references that would actually lead to bullying.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Chip, you know, it's like funny because I'm glad you brought up bullying because that's why we're here and somebody should really help me. It's not like you can't be replaced.
Yeah. You've tried.
I certainly have.
Come back.
Angling for that position.
You could be on Tuesdays with me, Wednesdays on Watson and Watson, right. Thursdays on the Basement Chronicles, and Friday you'll find another show. Your wife never has to see you again.
Yeah.
I could certainly arrange that for you. Okay. You know, I've just always detested bullying. I wasn't chronically bullied, but there were times in my life where I was bullied, and you just like you don't want to go to school, and it's a good day when that person's sick. You know, and they're not in school.
I was bullied as a kid, and it left an impression on me where I get very tenacious if somebody tries to give me a hard time.
I've noticed.
Right. And that stems for me being bullied as a kid where I couldn't fight back. And as an adult, I decided I was never going to be bullied again. So regardless if it's you, the rude clerk at the store, somebody I'm trying to get. If I'm getting somebody that's nasty to me, I get very tenacious and I won't stop. And that stems from bullying. It does leave an emotional scar on you. Absolutely.
Well, so now here's the interesting thing about bullying. Now, some bullies, some kids who get bullied actually ask for it, like you do, Joe. Sometimes they smart off and be a wise guy, and that leads to bullying.
That wasn't the case as a kid.
No, not as a kid. I'm talking about my adult experiences with you.
Yeah, but that stems back to the fact of that little emotional scar that I had as a kid.
I don't think it's little.
No. Well, it is a lot. Well,
a lot of comics, though.
Later.
You know, that's like, you know, you have an experience as a kid, and either you're bullied or you feel intimidated. So I dealt with it with humor. Mm. So back then, I wish I could still do that when I'm on stage.
That's
anyway,
how I did it, too.
That's kind of, you know, thing that I think a lot of comics become comics because that's their defense mechanism.
Absolutely. I learned that when the bullies would, you know, make fun of me I would just try to joke my way out of it. There was one time I was in junior high, and this guy comes in the bathroom and he pulls a knife on me.
What?
Yeah, it was, and I didn't know if he was.
Where's this going? Maybe we should stop.
Well, no. But here's the thing. Here's where Yuma kind of helped out, because I didn't know if he was kidding around or not, because he used to be a nice enough guy. But he pulls a knife and he goes, "Give me your money," and immediately I go, "You're pulling that knife on me? That pocket? It was like a pocket." I go, "You're pulling that knife on me? Are you kidding me? Are you going to be a mugger?" I go, "Go home, find something bigger, and come back." I go, "You should be ashamed of yourself."
No, you didn't.
I did.
That's and not enough.
He just broke down laughing.
Go home and find something bigger and come back. I don't know if those are the right words to be using.
Yeah, not today.
Oh.
Well, I was going to be waiting there for him.
I got it.
I'll be waiting in stall three. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Craig. This is no longer bullying, Joe. This is J-Date.
Well, I wasn't looking for love. I mean,
clearly you might have been.
I had to go in defense mode. I mean, the guy was a big dude. He had a knife. It's like lose. I got to use the one skill, one of the few skills I have, which is
romance.
No, that skill is not good either.
I'll have you know that the bathrooms here at Success Martial Arts have a sign on them that say only one person per stall. I don't even want to know why that sign's up there.
Well, Joe's been here before.
Oh, that's right.
Wouldn't it be great if you could have used humor and had martial arts training at the same time?
You mean like do like a roundhouse and say and do knock knock jokes?
Yeah, we're gonna
like funny Bruce Lee. You could be like Bobby Lee.
Well, it wasn't wasn't that Jackie Chan though? Jackie Chan was like. You've made comedies.
We're going to break these rubber chickens in half.
knock, knock. What's that? A roundhouse on your head.
I'm going to ask the professionals. What's the move? The roundhouse before the punchline or after?
It depends on the joke.
Most times after.
Yeah. You're going to need that to get away.
Oh, yeah.
There is probably some comic somewhere doing like a martial arts comedy actor.
I would
oh, yeah. Emmett Furrow. He was like double jointed, and he used to like do like nunchuck things. So, but like his like he would go by clavicle comics. So it was like shoulder blades and everything would go weird. But then at the end, he would do this thing with like the nunchucks going around.
He would close on nunchucks.
Pretty much, yeah.
Did it go over?
It was fine.
It means it stinked already.
No, it's a variety act. I mean, listen, okay. Nobody's gonna boo the guy with weapons. Exactly. It's
you
a
know
smart
what?
Move.
I think I'm going to take karate and put an ad together and sell T-shirts. That's would not have that on there. Nobody's going to pull the guy with weapons.
You think anybody's going to heckle the guy who can like kick your butt or throw a bottle at you and say you stink? No, you might leap off the stage and like throat chop them. And what are you going to do? It was self defense. They hurt your feelings.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. He's a janitor. I don't know if he's a black belt.
I'll tell you a story.
Don't look. He's a janitor. I wasn't saying anything bad.
He's a janitor.
No, he's not.
He certainly is a janitor.
Well, he's getting, you know, he's making strides.
Now he's opening for Piscopo.
Yeah, but Anthony told a story in the show last week.
Anthony Cumi of Opie and Anthony.
Thank
name
you.
Dropper.
Okay. No, I'm just telling who was telling the story. He was saying that Jeff Norris one time was demonstrating a move on Ant and almost ripped his larynx out. He goes, the guy doesn't know his own strength. Jeff's a stocky dude, man. Yeah. Sweetheart, really good dude, man. But he's a stocky dude, man. I wouldn't want to mess with him.
Mm-hmm. They used to call him like the white gorilla or something. Like
yeah,
that.
The big,
that
yeah,
name?
The big gorilla. Yeah, he was a stocky dude. But yeah, it's good that they're doing this and learning about you know bullying and stuff like that because you know they'll leave scars. You know,
here's what I love about this. Now my daughter goes to their dojo in Chester. Here's what I love about this. Besides the actual physicality of it,
yeah.
It actually gives you a lot of confidence. Yes. I mean, just to know that if somebody pushes you either, you know, emotionally, whatever, that you have the ability to defend yourself. Oh, the train's here.
I guess the train is coming out.
I guess Joe just got a new phone. I guess he hasn't figured out how to put it on silent yet.
No,
come back next year and Joe will learn.
Amazing. I understand exactly what you're saying, though. About
Joe can't get out the door. It is amazing. He's going to figure out an iPhone, and he can't worry. It only goes push or pull, stupid. This.
Can catch the next one. Catch
next door.
Five weeks, Pip. We haven't been here. He's gotten dumber.
Maybe that's what the show does for him. It you know, it's like some people play those, you know, word games or number games, and that sharpens their brain. I think that's what the show does for Joe.
I think so. Well, Walt's here. Walt from Jester's Comedy Club. Jester's Comedy Club made a nice donation. We're going to have them on. Well, we got Chip here. I want to talk a little bit about, first of all, thank you, Chip, for your generous donation.
Thank you very
much. Thank
you
very much.
No, thank you. We should be commended.
Yes.
Where's my medals? I should have a hot woman blowing me right now. I shouldn't have said. Wait a minute. I can't do that on the show. Never mind.
You're on OA, all right?
ONA? Joe was just talking about them. I can't say that. Well, I mean, we're in closed doors, but there's kids.
Yeah, but you're on Stick'Em.
So I'm always on Stick'Em.
Yeah, I know. Well.
That sounds dirty.
Yeah, it does. Especially now when I was saying about the hot woman blowing you.
I know.
So now Chip and I go way back. Actually, Chip, Pip, and I go way back. We met we used to do open mics together at comedy at Rivera's, and one out of the three of us had the good sense to stop comedy.
Thank you.
Two out of the three of us continued. So it's been a while, so I'm glad to see Chip. But now Chip is doing his own radio but video show, Basement Chronicles, on Thursday nights. Now, you do that with your son.
Perspective perspective, and the deal is like he's the voice of reason, like he's the one that's pulling me back.
I can knowing you, and knowing your son a little bit, that seems like a no brainer.
So the maturity factor is all on his side of the table.
But does it get like awkward? Because you like, I mean, you're doing a show. Does it get awkward for him?
See, I couldn't have made a reference like you just made in front of my son. So the thing is, like,
you could. How do you think he was born?
Not that way, but he becomes.
That's a good point.
My censor, so I can't. Like it keeps us clean, which is good because his mother's upstairs watching. And even if we get like close to something, you know, we'll get like a text, "Hey, that's your son next to you." Like,
She's like standards and practices. Oh, yeah. you got S&P in the bedroom.
I'm getting flashes of like the Big Bang Theory. You know, Harold, you can't take dirty on your podcast, Daddy.
Yeah, well, she's like our angry reporter, our angry producer, because she likes to go.
Why she got to be angry?
Because she's angry. That's the deal. So she goes over our topics, and she's like, you know, that used to be my laundry room. You guys better be funny. So that's like the whole thing. Wow.
But then she doesn't know that's where you're airing all the dirty laundry. Right. But you can't even, like, talk about, like, say you're what, you know, couples have arguments. You know, couples irritate each other. So say you and the missus have
really?
I've been told. I don't know. Me and my wife don't talk to each other, so it's better that way. But say your wife does something that really aggravates you, that if you that you want to talk about on the air because you think it'll be people can be relate to it, it'll be funny. Do you do it, or do you gotta like, well, this is his mom?
We gotta just like couch it in a way that it's kind of like a good way to do it. It's kind of like when Stern was not on Sirius,
uh-huh.
You could say things, but there was a line that you couldn't cross. But
yes,
you have to be creative as to how you would talk about stuff. Like, we've talked about topics like the guy in the airport. Remember the guy in the airport that got frisked with the, you know, large package? Did you do that?
Was he holding a large package?
Oh, you got to really eat this mic. I got you maxed all the way up. All
right, can you hear me now?
I can't turn you. That mic stinks. I got to get a new mic for us.
Anyway, so the deal was that, you know, we talk about stuff like that. What did we do last week? It's funny. Like, he'll do all the really important world news topics that I know nothing about,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be talking about things like the new Girl Scout cookies and, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of works for us. Because
Girl Scout cookies? Like,
there's a new girl. Did you see? There's new Girl Scout cookies. These like these mango cookies that they put this thing that says it adds
frutration. Do you know what frutration is?
I'm afraid to say on a bullying show.
Well, like frutration is this thing where it's supposed to add vitamins and minerals to the cookies, and everybody's like, they're cookies. Like, what, you know, what difference does it make?
I know.
So,
can I have some nutritious soda, please?
Right. So actually what we're doing next week is we had some Girl Scouts call in to tell us about the cookies.
Right.
They're not selling these in New Jersey because surprisingly people in Jersey don't give a crap about nutrition. So it's
no.
Like, yes, right? So we're actually having...
I'm sorry. Are you monitoring our chat? Because somebody was telling us about the mic thing on our chat, too.
And I was trying to get into Leavely Land, so I can't say.
No, I mean, on our thing. Were you
yeah,
on
yeah,
our,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I don't have both of them.
I'm sorry, Chip. Just doing the
that's
technical
a,
stuff.
So the deal is... the deal is... next week, we're having two Girl Scouts come in. And they're going to have dueling cookie sales. So we're going to see, like, which Girl Scouts can sell the more cookies. And we're going to get down and dirty and things like that. So
hold on. I'm directing traffic. We're going to have to switch off with that mic, Joe. So actually, you know what? We'll have Pip and Chip switch off.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys share that mic. Here's Joe. The band's walking in. Now I got to direct traffic.
Yeah,
you guys conduct the show while I talk to them.
All right. McClinton is here, ladies and gentlemen. Ugh. So what were you guys chatting about?
We were talking about the Basement Chronicles and doing your show with a 15-year-old son. Like, what can you say? What can't you say?
Right, right.
Things like that. Topics that you could touch and not touch. And
right.
Stuff like that. So that's what we were talking about.
The Basement Chronicles and what? Well, you have a 15-year-old son?
I have a 15-year-old son. We do the show Thursday nights from our basement.
Right.
And the approach is like kind of surreal. We'll have guests that don't show up, and then the guy that comes in to read the meter, we'll just pull him on the couch and we'll talk to him. it's kind of like a Father Knows Best like meets Wayne's World.
Right, right,
like,
right.
It sounds like every porn star, you know? It's like, oh yeah, the guy meter reader comes and we pull him over on the couch.
Booka chicka wow wow.
Oh, wait a second. It doesn't sound the same when Chip's saying it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You took the sex. You took the sexy out of the whole thing.
Different level.
Yes,
you remove the sexy from that.
Yeah, so that's what we do. We take the news. We do that. We, you know, have him come in. We talk about our week, what went on in my
life, what went on in school.
You go over grades and stuff?
I have like a father and son segment where I could give him advice, and it works so well for me.
You got to do report card night. How's his grades?
His grades are actually pretty good. Really? He's doing pretty well.
Tell him to flunk some stuff so you can yell at him. Like, hey, you know what?
Regardless, my wife will come down. She'll yell at us at certain times. She'll go over our things, telling us, you know, that we need to really jazz up the show, pump it up. You know, that's what you
right,
want.
Right.
Your wife, you know, being your like comedy censor. That's what you want.
Right, right, show, right. So. You know, yeah. The wife is always helpful. Yeah. I remember I was at Westbury Music Fair. I killed in front of 2,000 people. I come home. It's garbage night. Really isn't.
It keeps you like keeps you grounded.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. It sure does.
Never gets too big.
Yeah, never. No, not with the wife. That's their job, to make you feel the most insignificant thing on planet Earth.
Hold on,
well, besides David. David's ranting to me.
Wait, I've been doing this wrong, then.
What? You've been supportive?
I haven't made Mr. Helix feel like dirt yet, so maybe I have to go home and start afresh.
Mm. So what you got
to? New year.
Well, what you got to do is like when the band goes to gig, you got to go do me that music thing. Are you?
Yes.
Oh, you got a gig at the club? You're going to do your skits?
Oh, so he could start this morning with, you got to go do that podcast crap?
It's tit for tat.
Or, yeah, exactly. You know, not in our house. We can't do that.
Yeah.
We both have a lot of non-paying jobs, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, understood.
Well, you don't want to, like, take the chance of having someone be supportive and actually help you be successful.
Yeah. Because when you get divorced, right, you get half.
That's it.
Half of my nothing. Here's $1.380.
So, you know what? Actually, it works out good because, like, for an hour a week, we actually get to sit and talk about stuff which we normally would not talk about.
Right.
You know,
right.
Sitting at the kitchen table.
Right, right.
Most families don't talk that much.
And, you know, so then I'll say to them, you know, you got to do a little show prep. You know? Mm. Do you guys have that conversation amongst
A conversation. It's like a midterm final with this Davin over here. We'd all do this, do that, find this, research that, look into there. Blah, 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 blah. But it makes it – you know what, though? I've noticed with the podcast, I think we prepare a lot more than a lot of the shows.
Yeah, a lot of podcasts are just comics sitting down and they're just like talking about whatever.
Yeah, and
having fun.
Yeah, and no discredit to them.
Drunk.
A lot of podcasts do 1 hour. We push through, you know, we do like, you know, our regular show, we'll push 3+. I was actually on our iTunes last night and I noticed that we actually did a show. We did almost 4 hours and 20 minutes one night. And I couldn't remember when we did it, but I think, Pip, you remember? I think I remember that show.
It was like a marathon. We both looked at each other like we had been beaten in the ring.
Yeah. it was one of those nights where we do the scammer stories. We do these scammers.
The
scammer stories.
That, yeah.
And there was one night where there was, I think, basically what it was is that there was a whole expose on scammers.
Uh-huh.
And Davin had a ton of material. So what we did was we did our regular show. We weren't planning to do that long. But we went into the expose, and then Davin had his stuff. And it was one of those things where you could not stop. To do the story justice, we had to keep going, and it wound up being a four hour show.
Wow.
But it was tiring.
Yeah,
you know, when we got done,
an hour. And the thing is, sometimes it like flies by, and then sometimes you're like, oh my god, like,
yeah.
Hey Chip, did you mention where people can hear you? Show? I'm sorry, I've been running.
I was going to ask. I thought you guys might have touched. Well, that's why I didn't mention it.
It's Thursday nights, 8 p.m. It's on Spreecast.com.
Mm.
So you go to Spreecast.com and then just put in the Basement Chronicles, and it'll come up. Like I say, it's Thursday night, 8 p.m.,
mm.
and you can click to follow the show. You'll get information.
Right.
And it's very easy. You can call in. We'll pull you on the air, or you can get into the chat room, probably similar to what you guys
right.
do here.
Right.
And you know what? We've developed our own little core audience. We were actually originally on DARPA TV.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys ever used that.
DARPA TV?
No, you got to pay for it, I think.
No, it's free.
Oh. Well, then I'm surprised we didn't.
No, because that's our favorite price.
Sure. we doubled down on free.
That's right. Yes. Free's good for us.
A nice little community.
It's twice
like
your salary.
A nice little viewing audience. And then they closed the doors. So then we had to start all over again.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
Yeah.
So you built up this whole group.
And so we had to start all over again and try to find it. We tried Stick'Em.
Yeah.
On Stick'Em?
Yeah, we're on Stick'Em right now. We're on Levyland, yeah?
And,
love Levyland.
And then we found this place, which was great.
Yeah.
Because it's like the functionality is great. You can call in, pull as many people up as you want. and it's free, and you can post your show like immediately afterwards, right, with clips before we had to cut our show altogether.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, we went through the same thing. I mean, with Anthony, we had we were doing the compound shows at the compound, and he wound up getting an apartment in the city, and he got quite frisky with a young lass. Uh-oh. And he's been in town a lot, so we haven't been in as much as we want with try, and plus with the hurricane, the studio looks like a bomb hit it. So basically, we were building up our audience on his station, and basically everything kind of grounded to a halt. Hopefully, we'll be back on and get things up and running, but that remains to be seen. But I know, we went through the same thing you guys did.
Well, if you guys get stuck for space, we can push the washer dryer over, and you guys can come in and join us there.
You joke. You joke.
Hey, we'll be happy to move the laundry basket for you guys.
You know what? Let's take this time to thank some of our sponsors.
Yes.
And I also want to get Walt in here from Jester's Comedy Club, because I want to talk to him for a little bit. Is there anything else before?
I just want to say one more thing while I'm here. First of all, you guys did a great job doing this, because it really is a good cause.
It really is, yeah.
The big news for us on the Basement Chronicles and for me is that I'm writing for a new sitcom, which is called Don't Know Jack, and we got the green light yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, you're going to be out of my price range.
It starts in June, and it debuts on Hulu Plus, and then what they have to do is get quarter of a million hits an episode to move to cable or network TV.
Right.
Amazing.
So, check that out. You'll see some advertisement for that will come out soon.
Very nice.
So,
congratulations.
Good, man.
So,
cool. Nice.
Thank you for having me.
Chip, thank you for coming down. Thank you for your generous donation.
Right.
And stick around. We'd like you to help us break some boards.
Yeah, please.
We're going to need
break
hands.
All of them. All right.
I love to, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks Chip. So much. Let's let's bring out Walt in, the owner of Jester's Comedy Club.
Hi, Walt.
How you doing, Walt?
What's going on?
It's not working that well.
That mic isn't working very well, so you and I are going to be like Paul and George of the Beatles, okay?
All right. So Walt and I met each other back when I was at that other station, that terrestrial radio.
What other station are we speaking of?
That would be...
No, never mind.
You could say TBQ. I don't care.
WTBQ. Oh, okay.
That's fine. So Walt, besides being the owner of Jester's Comedy Club, Walt also has a show on Thursday nights, the Walt in L.A. show.
Yes.
Ah.
So if you
still do it.
Well, you do.
I lasted.
you figured out how to outrun Frank.
Yes, I did. I figured out how to beat the system over there.
So we were, as we're here for bullying and everything. We've been asking everybody who's coming on how bullying has affected them. So I was wondering, how has bullying affected you or your family in any way?
Everybody has their kids. I have two kids. I have a 13-year-old's going to be 14, and I have a...
I hope so.
And I have
You know your numbers, Walt.
I forgot this is a comedy show. Right?
Well,
sometimes we do.
Yeah. Most times.
I have an 11-year-old, so, boy and a girl, and they're always coming home. This one did this one did that. When I went to school, we never had any of that stuff.
Mm.
You just got along with everybody. Now everybody's got to be better than everybody. Who's got a pool? Who doesn't have a pool? Who, did their hair. You look right outside here. There's a kid who's got his hair sticking straight up in the air like a chicken. He's outside. And he's setting himself up to be bullied on.
A kid out there?
What?
There's
a kid outside.
You're mocking a kid who's participating in anti-bullying. That's how terrible you are. Somebody who's doing good, and Walt being the bully that he is.
We grew up at a different time, Dad.
We grew up at a different time.
The sensei will be taking Walt's side.
Sorry
later.
About it.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
No, I'm just saying, we didn't have that back then. Joe, there's no bald guy. There was no bald guys back then, we hung out with. There was nobody with the hair like
but the,
that.
But the fat kid got bullied.
There was no Mohawks. You know who had the Mohawks? The Road Warriors. That's who had the
Mohawks. The wrestlers?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, 1987, for your references.
Thank you.
Just a decade ahead of Joe.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, wow, he's putting it. Wow.
But wait, but you said a kid
Mr. T.?
But no, fat kids were bullied. I was a child. Fat kids got bullied back in the day. If you were a different ethnicity,
yeah. But
I was a fat kid. I'm a fat adult too. But I was a fat kid. I got curry fat, fatso curry.
Those aren't even good.
What do you expect from an 11-year-old?
I expect a little better.
Well, let's jump in the time machine and you give a writing
lesson. Wait, you mean an 11-year-old Joe didn't go, really? Really? That's the best you got? Really?
No.
That's a high
pitch. Exactly. Well, he hasn't hit puberty. It's 11-year-old Joe.
Really?
And he's like quoting things from like Charlie Chaplin, because even then he's like using old references.
Because the new old one was roaring around yet.
You're quite the little scamp, aren't you? Oh, no, they're coming at me. Run! Don't stare at me like that.
They're going to beat the tar out of me. I've got to beat town. You're doing 20s references. Yeah. Well, it's still the 70s. They haven't started yet. Smokey and the Bandit's 4 years away. I can't do things yet.
Wow, you guys just went off on a tangent right there.
Yes.
That's what we do. We're not scripted.
Who's scripted?
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
It's surprising with all the paperwork in front of us.
That's
but
true.
Actually, we're not.
But back then.
I've listened to your show. You never bring things back on track.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
Now you're the voice of reason?
All of a sudden.
Wake up, L.A. Wake up, L.A. She's never going
to
believe this.
I know, all of a sudden, right?
All right, so go on with
you. Back then, like, I wasn't the most popular guy in school, and there was the cool guys in school, but you learned how to
I bet you had a good sense of humor. I bet you used humor to deflect. Yeah.
Yes, I did.
But you're not a big guy. You're like me. You're a little bit bigger than me. I mean, did you fear, like, getting your butt kicked?
Never.
Did you ever get bullied?
I never got bullied.
Did you ever bully anybody?
I never bullied anybody either.
Were you in a clique?
No, I wasn't. I adapted to each different clique that there was.
You were a chameleon.
I was a chameleon back then. Right. Absolutely. And that's exactly what I try to tell my daughter that. Listen, don't bother with these guys. Don't bother with these girls. You know, my son, if they don't want to be your friend, don't be their friend.
Just be yourself.
And that's just how I
was. But it's hard to do that as a kid. I was kind of like you.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't in cliques. I was kind of friends with everybody. Right. But even still, sometimes somebody would start with you and everything. But I would fight. And the thing about me is, I don't know if I was necessarily a good fighter, but I won't stop. Like, if it's on, so you're gonna have to quit.
Dude, I've shuck your hand though.
I have very soft hands.
It's like getting hit with a pillow.
You would know. Usually, you're biting one.
Yeah, but he would fight. Don't forget, he's a Jew. He would sue the kids. He'd serve them subpoenas and stuff like that.
Wow.
Really? From the Scotsman.
Well, fighting's expensive.
It certainly is.
But when I was a kid, I remember a teacher called my mom. And this is weird nowadays, the way things are. I would not fight back. And the teacher called my mother and said, look, he's being pushed around. And I didn't have a father growing up. So he essentially told my mom, you got to tell Joe to start. If he's in a situation where he feels he's being provoked, he's got to fight back.
Yeah.
You know,
we actually had to do that with my daughter, because she's taking the martial arts here at the Success Martial Arts in their Chester location. And on the bus, a boy was bullying her. This is last year. She's in kindergarten at the time. A boy's bullying her and everything. But, you know, they always teach you, you know, you don't fight. That's what they teach. You know, it's fighting is a last resort. And she was afraid to hit him back. And me and my wife were like, no, you hit that boy.
Yeah.
And then we had a sensei for Dico reinforce it. It's amazing what a good kick or punch will do to the end of bullying.
Yes.
It is amazing what happens if you – and that's what they're doing here. They're like giving these kids the tools to defend themselves. They're also doing something else here, which I want to talk to Instructor Prayer about when he comes in. They're also going to give lessons to bullies. And you would think, wow, who needs a more dangerous bully?
Yeah, what they're going to do is they're going to beat the crap out of them. this is what happens,
at least,
stupid.
No, but I mean, at least when they bully you, the fight will be much quicker.
Yeah.
Chucky Tito says, hell yes, you hit that boy.
Exactly. Chucky Two Toes is correct.
I was literally just telling my daughter this. I said, if you were to hit one of them once, they're never going to bother you again. And I bring up the reference from Back to the Future. George McFly punched Biff in the face, and it changed everything.
You guys should do a show together.
Why? Back to the Future?
No, just call it Not This Decade.
Meanwhile, coming Thursdays.
Listen, we didn't start the fire.
The world's been burning.
The world's been burning since the world's been churning.
Oh, God, do we stink. 1989 Billy Joel, really? Yeah.
I
know exactly what Joe was talking about before, though.
Glad somebody does.
No, I mean, I was raised like a nice, dainty little girl, believe it or not. And so when I was being bullied when I was a little kid, I didn't think that I had the right to hit somebody else. I thought, well, two wrongs don't make a right. But there was this one kid in our apartment complex, and everybody called him Ben, like Bam Bam.
Really?
And the kid was a terror. And so actually I came home one day and I had his bite marks on my arm. And my dad went nuts. He's like, what's going on? And I was like, well, he does stuff like that all the time. So even Ben's mother said, no, he does that stuff like that. You push him. So my dad told me, pretend like you're crying, turn around, you'll get him off guard, and then turn around really quick and push him.
So I did it, and the kid never came near me again because I clocked him and he fell off the ground.
Well, that's what bullies do. They prey on the weak. And what they're trying to do here is give the kids strength, but they're also teaching the bullies a better way. Because if martial arts is not really about the fighting, it's about a code of life, something that degenerates like us don't necessarily deal with. But we're all nice people. But it gives you like a certain ethics that you should be better.
What I think this does, and this is it's perfect for it, is it gives you the confidence. That and they the bullies sense that you have the confidence that they shouldn't be picking
exactly.
on you anymore.
Exactly.
And you don't have to do anything except just feel like you can. Can I curse on this?
You can. We're trying not to today, but
kick his butt.
Yeah, you can say ass.
You can kick his ass.
I don't have a rich here with a dump button.
So if,
like right. he ever paid attention to anything going on in the booth?
only when Walt is on. Walt lives in fear. I've done Walt's show with Walt. Yeah. Walt lives in fear.
Oh, he watches you like, oh, he never watched
I'm
us.
I'm telling you, the other day we did a show the other day, and I just could not. It was a joke about 18 heads
right.
that they found at an airport, and I was just like, you know, she's like, how do you get 18 heads? You know, and I said, well, it's easy. And I said to Rich, do me a favor. Get over by the button because I can't control myself right now. The word head is being used right now. So he, you know, I actually dumped myself at that point.
Did you?
If you have confidence from this SMA and you know that at any given moment you can kick this person's ass, they will sense that they can get their ass kicked and they will leave you alone at that point.
Yeah, because you give an aura.
Yes.
It's you know, it's like almost like in normal countries, when countries deal with each other. I mean, America's been superior because we gave the – I mean, heck, we won the Cold War over the sense that, you know, we are very powerful and you better watch what you're doing, you know. And it's amazing. I remember when
Chucky Two Toes. I just want to say
that. Chucky Two Toes.
Yeah, Joe. Do you need Chucky to come there and kick your ass?
Probably. I'm sorry.
Chucky Tito's, because we're talking about fighting back, taught my daughters if someone lays a hand on you first, you tear them up.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what it is.
That's why Chucky's only got two toes.
Yeah.
He's been doing a lot of tearing.
By the way, can I also say this? If you don't want to be kidnapped in Algeria,
don't go
to Algeria.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at this on TV.
Well,
and
they're
I'm
doing
like,
it for the gas.
Yeah, but if there's a built-in... what's the word I'm looking for? Danger. There's a built-in danger. If you're going to take a job, like if you're going to take a job in Iraq and you get beheaded in Iraq, that's part of the job.
Yeah, right.
So like if you don't want to be kidnapped in Algeria.
Don't go to Algeria.
Don't go to Algeria. Yeah. Instead, if you don't want to be stabbed in the Bronx, you can't be stabbed in the Bronx if you don't go to the Bronx.
I don't want to take this heavy because, you know, with recent events, I mean, I really don't want to do this today.
Oh, you don't want to do it? All right.
Well, about what happened a month ago while I was away? I don't want to talk about that today.
What happened?
Really?
Do I know?
In Connecticut, I'm sure you do know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. Don't go to school. Really?
No, but that's different.
Bad things happen.
No, but you know
this
what?
This is all about being prepared.
But
somewhat
going
prepared.
To school doesn't have that built-in danger. I mean, now it
well, if you're being bullied,
bit.
It does. Well,
it does, right? But if you're gonna go, to Iraq or Iran, you have to understand that there's a possibility that there's going to be nut jobs out there that are going to kidnap you and cut your head off.
Yes, they don't like us there.
Right? it's a known fact. So. That's just my little.
Hey, Walt, tell me a little bit about Jester's Comedy Club.
Oh yeah, no, we have every Saturday night. Once in a while, we'll do a Friday night show with the a rising star comedy competition where people who aren't as polished, they come and they bring their
newer
friends
comics,
and family. Yeah, newer comics,
a bringer show.
Well, it's a bringer show. Yeah. It's a bringer show. We provide it. We advertise it and everything, and it makes those guys and it gives them the confidence that. You know, instead of working at like a
the urine trough, you could be working at a nice club,
right? And that when you instead of working Denny's again, you're gonna work.
Who books that?
Joe, if you need,
can Joe send you a tape?
Joe, didn't I meet you the other day? Did I see you the other day at Monty's?
Yeah, at the party.
No.
Not the wake.
At the wake? Yes.
You were there. Okay.
Yes.
I meant to go up to you and say hello because I had never met you before.
Oh, go. Yes. Yes.
And I was telling, and I'm getting off
you forget my name, Davin.
Davin. Yes. I was telling Davin.
We call him stupid.
But anyway. You were there for when Monty gave the speech at the end and he did like 15 minutes of material.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I've ever been at a wake.
The only day, if I was there, I would have sold t-shirts afterwards.
Well, you didn't hear this. I was sitting next to Joe Maffa.
Right.
And I was sitting in between Joe Maffa and Tom Ingenio. Mm. And what happened was after Monty was doing, his jokes and all of this kind of stuff, Moffa reaches over me to say to Eugenio, he goes, when are you booking me here? at the funeral home.
Oh, by the way, Avail A Bay's to Ingegno A Bay, if you get my drift A Bay.
Anyway, what's the... What,
so anyway, Jester's Comedy Club. My pig Latin is really rusty.
Right.
How's your monkey Latin?
Was that what that was?
Well, it's a monkey.
Write it down on the notes that you're not looking at. Right. And but every Saturday night, last week we had Colin Quinn at the place. And,
oh, that's
and
very nice.
We
very
sold
nice.
Out the event room, which was 330 seats. This week we have Otto and George there tonight.
Nice.
So that's going to – we don't have enough to go downstairs, but we're going to sell out the upstairs, which is about 120 people.
Cool.
Next week, Mike Somerville.
I know the name.
He was on Letterman back in August. Mm. Kevin Downey Jr., who was at the
Kevin's,
wake.
Oh, Kevin rules.
He was at the wake. He's there the 2nd. The 9th, we got Kevin Meaney back again.
Cool.
What's the nice. Website?
www.jesterscomedyclubny.com. Put the NY at the end of Jester's Comedy Club because some jerk out in the United Kingdom owns the website Jester's Comedy Club.
Now, what?
He won't give it to us.
Oh, why would he?
He doesn't even have a club anymore.
Well, just doing it so despite
it just,
you.
It just, yeah, it just
it's about you.
Reverts it to another site.
Now, do people have to, can people call in advance to make reservations?
They can call, but we just go right on the website, and you can buy the tickets right on the website.
Okay. Is there a phone number where people can find out the upcoming acts or anything?
No.
Okay, good.
No, if they go on that website.
How about your cell phone? Can they call you?
They can call my cell phone. But go right on the website. Like us on Facebook, and you'll see all the acts coming up.
Mm-hmm.
There's different ways. I mean, the phone number, it's a Magic Jack phone number.
It's
not like somebody who's sitting there saying, yes, welcome to the Bijou Theater. Can I help? Nobody's doing that.
It's a Magic Jack phone number. That's
only
all
the
it
best.
Is. It's Magic Jack.
Now, I'm going to be there in a couple weeks for you, as it turns out.
Yeah, you're going to be there headlining. See, Davin and I have this, like, love-hate thing going on.
Really? I couldn't imagine a relationship with him.
No, it's like this.
That would have helped if you would have talked into the microphone, stupid. Yeah.
Don't worry, I got enough through.
Noted. Your hate covers all.
Thank you. No, but here's the thing. I do a show once a week.
Right.
So I have to have three really good acts there.
Right.
And I want to either see them or have my booker, which is Omnipop,
right.
Vouch for them. And they haven't been wrong yet.
Right.
So all I'm saying is I've never seen Davin. I saw a little bit for 18 during the hurricane.
Yeah, I get the big hurricane gig. Can you paddle on over here?
While branches and timber are flying, he's up there trying to do his work.
It was like 2 days after the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
So we canceled the regular show, and we just put on another show for people who did want to come out. We had Davin, John Ivorone, and who was the other person? Was it Gene Triffalo?
Rich Schultes.
Oh, Schultes. Mm. Schultes. So, and it was a really good show, but there were only 18 people, so they were kind of playing with the audience and weren't doing as much material.
Right.
So I said to him, listen, I want and you know what? The YouTube stuff you have is not your best stuff.
It's a good YouTube clip. Which one?
Have you seen the rest of the act? Does it get
with the cowboy hat?
Well, that's on several of them. Yeah, the one where I'm talking about. I'm not doing my act
where
for
it looks
you,
like
now.
The Jewish Yosemite Sam running around.
Do a little act for me. No, what I want to do is I want to see him in a setting with a big crowd.
Really?
See Joe? See Davin? Even your guy right here is throwing you under the bus.
Do you realize he doesn't leave the state of New York, the states of New York or New Jersey, if I don't take him to open for me? Joe, you probably might want to say something nice. I can get somebody else from Pennsylvania. Not like somebody else can't do that 25 minutes of yuck.
Davin can actually handle a big crowd.
Thank you. That sounds very dirty.
Davin is very funny.
I was going to say something else about myself, but I'm trying to work clean today.
I'm glad.
I want to see him. I want to see him. Evidently, Omnipop is not vouching for him.
I've never worked for him.
But it doesn't matter. But they're not vouching for you. And
why would
they
vouch? I've never approached them.
That's the other thing. I mean, they've probably never seen, do they know you?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, we had a conversation.
That's good. I'm glad.
in regards to the club.
Oh, okay. All right. So
we had a conversation.
So he's seen you.
Yeah, Tommy.
But if there's a comic who's out working out in Arkansas right now and Tom has never seen him, he's just going to say, I've never seen him. I can't vouch for him.
Right, right.
That's
right.
It. He's never seen him and he's not going to vouch for him. That's all.
Meanwhile, he's like, wow, you're doing a gig in the Bahamas? How do you get that? So clearly nobody works me.
Or
I have to leave the country.
Or it's a very simple crowd out in the Bahamas.
Let's not let's not flatter ourselves with what Chester, New York is. All right,
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
It's the metropolis of Chester.
Yeah, exactly. Let's not get crazy.
They're on
here.
Vacation. They're drinking pina coladas all day.
How many? How many of you?
Someone says they think I listen
so
to anything.
Let me ask you a question.
Let's get the cheapest guy we can and throw him on stage.
How many of Ingenio guys have gotten that gig? Not many.
Yeah, he don't deal with that because you know.
Yeah, he doesn't deal with where comics want to go and enjoy themselves.
I want to match the alcohol level of the people in the Bahamas with the people in Chester, match for match.
No, they drink. They drink pretty well.
Well, you had to lead the charge.
They do. But, you know, I did a little research online, and they do. I checked out the Bahamas and all of that.
Right.
And they hire C-Ray Comics. So.
Well, really?
That's all right.
I'm only kidding.
I'm getting my balls you know, I was going to be nice to your club, but I was in the Bahamas for 2 weeks working every night, and you book one Saturday, and the sticks at New York, and you're going to bust my hump. I'm
going to
Ingenio
now. You know, Davin's going to turn around and go, why aren't I on mic? I don't need to be.
Davin's going to make me take my mic back.
I got a new helper here.
No, not a new helper, a replacement.
All I'm doing is making sure that the show is perfect every week, and I have to see you first. That's all.
Perfect.
It's an audition.
Perfect show.
It's an audition.
Have you ever seen a perfect show?
No.
I've never seen a perfect show.
I have a perfect show every Saturday.
Really? That's not the conversation we had yesterday in the pizza joint, but okay.
Which one? What did I say?
about a few of the shows that were less than perfect.
All right. Oh, damn, the guy. He's helping us out here. I think the shows were
good. No, it wasn't his fault. It wasn't the club's fault. Okay. But comedy is an imperfect.
Don't make him turn on me, all right?
Yeah, I'm not.
He's got a good thing going now.
Comedy is an imperfect art. It's an imperfect, because it's live.
No, it's right. It is when I say a perfect show that I have it all lined up that it's supposed to be perfect. Whether it happens that way or not, that's a different story.
Well, it depends on you. You know, the audiences are different. I was working at Bananas last night, and it's a Friday night crowd. Really sweet people, but you know, it's very low key, you know, low key on a Friday night when people were. But as a professional comic, you know that, you roll with it.
Yes.
Turned out to be a great show. People had a great time.
Was
so
it Hasbrook or
Hasbrook. Okay. Over at Hasbrook. So basically every show audience has a psyche, and as a professional comic you have to know where it is and you know and dial into it, man. Everybody has a good time.
All right, let's thank some people.
Oh,
thank you. Again, that website. Give us the website.
Jester's Comedy Club NY. Don't forget the NY at the end, or else you go into some place out in the United Kingdom. But yeah, we're every Saturday. And,
if you're in Rockland or Orange County, I suggest you go to Jester's. They got a really good show. They got the very famous and influential Otto and George headlining.
Yeah, there's no tickets left. So you want to come next week?
Oh, sold out. You see how I set you up there?
Yeah, you want to come next week to Mike Somerville or
are there tickets still for that?
There's tickets for Mike Somerville. There's tickets for Kevin Downey Jr. and there are tickets for Kevin Meaney coming up.
And all three are top-notch acts, so just plan your dates and make sure you get the tickets before they sell out.
Yeah, this is 2 weeks in a row that we sold out.
You're doing a good thing.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun.
You're doing a good thing.
Right, and you're there on February 8th.
So I am there on February 8th.
If you want to see Davin,
plenty of time,
and critique him like I'm going to do. And sit there and give me your notes about what you think of Davin.
This is the guy who, when his partner's out, calls me to do his radio show, which he loves. Yeah. So I am so unfunny.
No, can I straighten that out? He was the only one that lived in Warwick that I knew that would
really?
Be available to
what,
come.
What about our other
loving Ward. I am loving Ward.
But his name's Walt, but you might want to get that right, stupid.
I love Walt.
But yeah, no. What about your guy that got attacked? He usually comes in for you.
Who's that? Oh, Brett Eidman?
Yeah.
Brett Eidman, yeah, I didn't ask him. I asked you first.
I know you. That's my point.
No, you're
that's my point.
You're the second guy that answered the phone.
No, but Brett's all the way in Rockland. I don't want to inconvenience him.
But he's got a lot more free time than I do.
Not really.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't have any kids at home. But anyway, what I'm saying is I had you, but they wouldn't let you in there. He's blackballed from
the
station.
The second time.
Oh, the first time. Oh, the first time you were there because you were still on air.
Yeah, we had a good time.
I know he got blackballed.
We got blackballed.
Yeah. You're all blackballed.
From WTBQ.
Yeah.
Well, because they didn't live up to their end of the deal, and we walked away. And
you're all blackballed,
banned!
Although, Joe, I might be able to bring Joe in.
Bring Joe in.
Because they wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
They know Joe.
Joe. I don't think
you're
so.
Such a non sequitur on that show. They come in. Who's this guy? You look familiar.
Let's thank some people.
All right, yeah, thanks some right. people.
Thank you, Walt.
On, guys.
Thank you for your help with this. Thank you for your donations.
Thank you, Walt.
Go to Jester's Comedy Club.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot, Walt.
Thanks.
Let's thank some people.
I thought he said break those balls instead of break those
balls. My balls are broken.
Yeah. I know. They're in pieces, shattered all over the
ground. Right. He did a good thing for us, so I have to show restraint.
You know what? You always tell me, you know, you could be replaced. Promise me if you ever replace me with him.
What, another one who doesn't do work? No, I don't think
it gives you grief yet.
If you're gone, it's me and Pip, baby. It's me and Pip all the way.
God help you.
All right, let's thank some people that were very generous with us. First, Platsky Plumbing, very generous. Joe, tell us about Platsky.
Platsky is one of my employers. They're a full service manufacturer's rep in the plumbing and decorative showrooms, and we serve the tri-state area. We have experienced professionals that will call on your plumbing supply house, and we have all the tools. We sponsor Brasscraft, which is the finest valve you could buy. Badaris Boilers. We also have Lasco Bathware, which is one of the best you could buy. Flood Stop Leak Detectors, which is one of the most important things you could put in your home, where if you have a valve leak, it'll automatically shut off. Because if you have water that leaks within 15 minutes, you could have upwards to $10,000. Also, Amtrol is one of the best pressurized well tanks you can buy. We also service that. And Little Giant Pumps. Check us out.
That's what I call my sex life. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Go on to Platsky.com. It's all the lines that we have. Give us a call and we can send you to a plumbing
wholesale. What's
the number? 516-333-9292.
Now, can they call you directly?
We could.
Call
us directly. Let us know what you're looking for on our line card, and we can direct you to a plumbing wholesaler in your area that could service you.
Now you can get Joe directly, but when he picks up the phone, go, "Hey, stupid," and then ask for your serious question, so he knows where you heard about him.
Ask for stupid.
Get the operator. Is stupid there? Well, we have a lot of stupid.
To tell you the truth, to reach stupid, call 241. So.
If you'd like to give Joe the type of grief I do.
Which I do get all day
long.
Well,
we definitely – Platsky Plumbing was very generous.
Yes, thank you so much to Jan. Thank you so much to Glenn. We really appreciate it.
Want to thank All Nations Tours, which is an affiliate of the Sail Travel Group. They're a full-service travel agency specializing in corporate travel and meetings and incentives. All Nations, we travel with you. If you want to make a reservation, just ask some questions about your travel. The number is 1-800-733-7430, 1-800-733-7430, or go to allnationstravel.com. And I do have to say, they booked my honeymoon in Hawaii, and it was off the hook.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We went to three islands. It was awesome.
Well, yeah. How can you not have a good time in Hawaii?
No, but they made sure everyone.
Unless
they
were at Pearl Harbor
during the
Japs
stress,
bomb, but,
the only stress.
Anyway,
the only stress I had to deal with, because you weren't involved in my life at that point.
I was.
Yeah, but not this
at that
much.
Point. Yeah.
Exactly. they did such a good job. I only had to worry about the stress of being married. I didn't have to worry about my hotels or my airfare because we're flying from island to island. So Nations Tours was great.
You can have a miserable time in Hawaii. Have you ever watched Dog the Bounty Hunter?
That's true.
You know, so
he's in Hawaii now.
He's always been in Hawaii.
He lives in Hawaii.
Oh, he's in. I thought he was in Arkansas or some shit.
No, he goes all over the place, but he lives in Hawaii.
Really?
And there's some really crappy areas of Hawaii, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, but you're living in Hawaii in a crappy area. It beats living in the Bronx.
Really? We're talking about a show that doesn't even air anymore.
No.
It's repeats. They caught everybody. How many criminals do you think are in Hawaii?
I'm just saying that there are nasty areas of Hawaii, and you could get booked into crappy places, and it takes a good agent to make sure you avoid those areas.
You know what? Joe's been very stressed lately. I would love to book Joe in a crappy area of Hawaii.
You booked me in a crappy area of Michigan.
And you were happy to go twice.
You guys going to tour Detroit again?
Well, I'm not going with him to Hawaii.
Oh, no.
Maybe. We'll see. Is there anybody who you'd like to? Give me one right now.
Okay. One right now. Johnny and the Alamones.
Oh, Johnny. We play their music.
Yes. One of the bands that Mr. Hillux appears in. They're going to be appearing at the Pie Man Cottage in Valley Cottage.
I want to go to Pie Man College. That sounds like my type of joint. I like both types of pie.
They're going to be appearing at the Pie Man Cottage, which is really good pizza, as a matter of fact, in Valley Cottage, New York, on Route 303. They'll be playing on Saturday, January 26th, and you can like them on Facebook.
I want to thank Clutch and Wiggle Entertainment Radio.
Not
only are they airing us this morning, they also gave us a very nice donation. So I want to thank Rob from Clutch and Wiggle. They're one of our affiliates. They're awesome. You can check them out at CWERadio.com. CWERadio.com. They got a lot of great shows on the station, including us and the very funny Clutch and Wiggle Experience, which airs on Thursday nights.
I like Clutch.
It's great.
It's funny.
I follow him on Twitter.
I think
he's
McClinton's
hilarious.
Playing out there. But they air on Thursday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. They also carry our pals Hate Speech Radio and
nice.
More. So if you're looking for an alternative to everyday boring radio, check out Clutch and Wiggle at cweradio.com. Also want to thank Milton Sue Rosenblatt, Skylar, my daughter's grandparents.
Nice.
For doing that. Also want to thank...
Wouldn't it be your parents?
They would be, but they might not want to be associated with me.
nice workaround there.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, also want to thank...
Skylar's grandparents.
Grandparents
of
the same last name.
I see no reason to besmirch my daughter.
Or your parents.
Exactly. I'm thinking of everybody. Want to thank comedian and friend of the show, Pat Alder. Her
nice.
Message to everybody as a former bully target, kicking ass back always works.
Mm. Yes.
Pip, you have anybody else?
Yes, absolutely. I do. I also like to thank the Seibel family for donating generously. Thank you very much. That's Kim and Bruce, father and daughter team. And also the Moon Music Circus, which will be appearing tonight at Point Break in West Hempstead, New York. And you can like them on Facebook as well.
Joe, why don't you tell us about Governors?
Right. I'd like to thank Mark Lund and Big James over at Governors Comedy Club for kicking in and helping us out with this. Governors Comedy Club is the premier comedy club on Long Island, bringing you the top comedians in the country and the best upcoming talents Thursday through Sunday at three great locations, Governors in Levittown, The Brokerage in Belmore, and McGuire's in Bohemia. Also, if you want to have a fundraiser besides breaking boards, a great comedy show will make a good cause, a great event. So for upcoming events, showtimes, and to buy tickets, go to gubs.com.
Gubs.com. Also want to thank Lee and Maris Margulies, Skylar's other grandparents, for kicking in. Want to thank Andiamo Restaurant in Haworth, New Jersey. Mm. They have great Italian food. Anybody's eating there knows that. Check out their next comedy show starring Rob Falcone on March 21st, 2013.
And it's a great place to go. I've performed there. The food is fantastic. The crowds are great.
Really good food.
To learn more about Andiamo, call them at 201-384-1551, 201-384-1551, or check them out at andiamorestaurant.net. Pip, anybody else?
Yes. Part of the Moon Music Circus, it includes Dragonfly, which is the music of Jimi Hendrix, and Creedence County Rockers, which is the best of Creedence Clearwater Revival. Also, we'd like to thank the Ramones, who are the world's greatest Ramones tribute band. And one more, I'd like to thank Mike and Bernadette Oliva for kicking in. Mike actually is the lead singer of Johnny and the Alimonies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, good, good. If I could do one more plug?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to thank...
It better not be your gig this weekend.
No.
That's a Joe Curry move right there.
No, it's
an
not.
Inappropriate plug.
I don't do that anymore. I would like to thank the band McClinton for coming in and helping us out. They're going to play a couple of songs. Also, Obsession Studios, Mike's studio, Obsession Studios in Wayne, New Jersey. Go on to obsessions.com. Check those, obsessionstudios.com. Check them out. It's a great studio complex for recording, rehearsing, and video production. Also, for doing some great showcases there. Check those guys out, and I thank them very much for helping us out today.
Nice.
And finally, I want to thank comedian Amaru. Now, Amaru is my pal. He's not only a comedian, but he's also an author and a rapper. We've played his music on the show.
Mm. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
I've done a tour with him. We have the United Nations Comedy Tour. He's a good man. He actually does a lot of charity work himself. Make sure you grab one of Amaru's books or catch him on tour. Check him out at The Real Amaru. That's The Real Amaru .com. The Real Amaru .com. What we're going to do is we're going to take a short little musical break. Who are we going to play here? Pip gave me something. Play some of this. What'd you give me, Pip? What'd you give me?
Well, there, right there is Joe Nania. It's called, the CD's called The Chronicles of Nania. Haha. He also goes by the name of Hollywood Joe, and he has a lot of music available on the internet. All you have to do is Google Hollywood Joe, and you'll find an amazing amount. Mostly rockabilly kind of stuff, but he's good stuff. Well, tell for yourself.
All right. So enjoy this. We'll be back in a few minutes with more. Thanks, guys.
Of yourself, I do. We'll take you out and in my mind there is no doubt tonight is the night. I'm gonna wrap her so is it good and tight. Lord, if you feel so right tonight is the night. Well, I won't say nothing about our loving. If I do, you might stop blushing. Go ahead, take a chance with me. And in a heart will make a romance, you see. Yeah. Oh, you know, the time is a can't go. The night is gonna be. Yeah, we'll love a man tonight. Here's the night. About our loving. If I do, you might stop blushing. Go ahead and take a chance with me. Little heart will make a romance to see. I'm gonna hold you till the time to crack gold. And I'm gonna be the devil love a man tonight. Here's the night. If I do, you might stop blushing. Go ahead and take a chance with me. A little honey will make a romance. See, I'm on. Oh, you're just as tight as I can go. Tonight I'm gonna be the devil of a man tonight. Here's the night. So come on now, honey, let's get on down. Ain't no sense in hanging around tonight. Here's the night.
Oh, I just wanted to use your
phone. Put the pole out of the guys go from 9 to 5, but you wanna catch me doing that job part-time, part-time. All I wanna be is part-time. Yes, indeed, I never work a day in my life. Oh, no, I'm part-time. Well, give me a break, man, leave me alone. Tell me about your business, let me go home. I'm part-time, part-time, that's what I said, I'm part-time. Well, I'm here, I'll always be, can you see, part-time. Well, nobody wants to work all day, travel all the way downtown. So I got myself a part-time gig, now I can't hang around. Well, don't you think I got me the best to do? Though my time here with you, I'm part-time. That's what I said, I'm part-time. In our head, I will be. Can't you see? Think I got better things to do. Though my time here waiting with you, I'm on time. On time. That's what I said, I'm on time. Wait on head, I know it's me. Can you see? On time. Well, nobody want to work all day, travel all the way downtown. So I got myself a part-time gig. Now I can't hang around. Well, don't you think I got better things to do? Though my time here wasn't you, I'm part-time. That's what I said, I'm part-time. Wait on head, I'll always be. Can't you see, part-time. I'll always be, can't you see, part-time. I'll always be, can't you see, part-time.
That was Joe Nania. Was it the Chronicles of Narnia? That was pretty good. I like that.
I know. He's good stuff.
Well, you wouldn't give us bad stuff.
No. No. As a matter of fact, he is a close friend of me and Mr. Helix, and he actually was our house guest the first year that we lived in our house.
Huh. Well, so, he made room with all the crap and cats?
We didn't.
How did you find him?
Well, that's always the first year he had to tunnel out.
We just moved the box. He was under there going, about time. Thank you.
He wasn't
you.
Supposed to be a house guest. He just came over to came over for lunch one day.
Stuck behind, got buried under something.
Yes.
He was like feeding off dead cats.
Oh, that's funny.
He used to be 400 pounds. We found him. It's like a miracle diet. He was stuck under something.
One cannot live off 8-year-old peeps alone.
Actually, you know, when my poor cat Woody was very sick, Joe was the one who nursed him.
Put him up to his bosom?
He did. The cat wouldn't sleep with us. He slept with Joe.
Well, you can't blame the cat. Who wants to see what the Helixes are doing?
No.
it could scar a cat.
The cat was smart.
Cat just licking itself incessantly.
That's what the rest of them do now, but yeah. It's a little intimidating.
So we got some more great show coming up. We got McClinton's hanging out with
us.
Yes. They're going to do a show. They're going to do a song, Change, for the students out there. Awesome. And then they're going to play a song for us in here. What song are they going to play? Yell it. All in the past.
All in the past.
I'm going to be good tonight and not take a shot at Joe. When you're on air, you could say whatever you want.
I like the way you tell him. Well, I guess he's all mine now.
I just want you guys to remember this is about bullying. Okay?
No, but it's kind of funny, though. The band McClinton's here. Joe used to be a member of the band, yeah. But that is all in the past.
Wrote that song yesterday, didn't you?
It was an amicable breakup. Joe and Michael McClinton walked hand in hand on the beach, put each other in each other's back hip pocket, holding each other's ass, wearing their tight Levi's.
Oh, the way I saw
I'm getting aroused. Keep going.
You are.
Oh, the way I saw it, they were both in bathtubs next to each other on the sunset beach, holding hands.
But they both agreed it wasn't McClinton, it was Joe, because everybody knows Joe. It's not you, it's me with Joe. With Joe, it's always, it's Joe.
It's the story of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't see a dress.
Sean's gonna go.
I thought he was gonna come looking like Jimmy Page's mom.
Johnny's
very conservative. Johnny's
all
very
the chicks
conservative
think Johnny
today.
Race. All the chicks think Johnny Race. They always come up to Johnny. Where'd you get that blouse?
It's on the mailing list. gets the flies from Mandy's. I know. Get coming up. You know,
Johnny always answers. We're gonna
have them on air, and it's not a couple seconds. But me and Michael are we're talking back and forth the other day on Facebook about them coming in and everything. And I go, well, I look forward to seeing Johnny's morning wear. And Mike goes, well, it's like Jimmy. It's like Jimmy Page's mother.
Like you haven't seen his morning wear before. Come on.
I have not.
Yeah,
I was asking. I don't believe that. Well, all right, fine. Rock and roll.
I got to tell you, so when Race Odyssey was playing, we were playing this gig, and John comes in to see that suit that you had, the pinstripe suit you had and stuff
like
that.
Look at Johnny just take. He's like, I'll crack a guitar and all you people.
I'll kabob me. But I walk into the club, and I'm like, nah, see, we're going to play rock. See, News Marks are going to listen. See, nah. I felt so bad. I felt so bad. Did I? I apologize.
Because he's a nice, delicate soul. He's a nice human being, unlike the degenerates you're used to dealing with.
Well, yeah, musicians are different. I ain't going to hammer you.
Well, he's a musician. Yeah, he's very sensitive. Yes, that's where he gets his inspiration
from.
That's
true.
Are you trying to say musicians are sensitive? Is that what you're trying to say, Davin?
Good ones. Take where you want to be. Do you want to be talented or an insensitive prick? You can't have them both.
That's why I'm doing that.
All right. But Michael McLean will take talent. So he's very sensitive.
It's sensitive prick. See how that way? That's why I'm not in the band now.
Exactly. Notice that Johnny's the only smart one that's avoiding the stick cam camera.
Johnny's always been the smart one. Yeah. He knows what goes with, he knows what goes with leather pants.
He certainly does.
He knows you don't put talcum powder on your crotch before a gig. It's going to get cakey.
Cakey?
Really? Does that happen, John?
Yeah, sure.
Really?
Wow, all right.
He does know. All right. Okay, I don't feel bad now.
He knows well.
Exactly.
He's pulled a lot of those pants off.
Hey, well, is the gentleman still speaking out there? Because I don't want the band to be late for their
gig in the next
room. Gotta get to the gig.
Must be one of our things. It's not running on time.
Yeah, right.
Right. So anyway, so Pip,
yes,
actually has martial arts experience.
Yeah,
which actually, by the way, showed itself when we did the board break at the compound, mm-hmm. and it was all in video. Because Joe, we bust about Johnny being like a feminine. I've never seen anybody. Well, yeah, I just did right now, John. I've never seen anybody approach a board more dainty than our own Joe Curry.
I don't want to hurt my hand. I am a musician.
I'm a musician.
I'm a musician. I don't want to hurt my hand. Not a non-working one, but I am a musician.
He pranced
besides
up.
Gut, but,
he pranced up to the board. Don't worry. You're not the first that have fired him. You won't be the last.
Don't worry. Joe Cumia still calls. Joe Cumia still calls. So. I know.
Makes for a better story if you did.
Okay, there we go. Ready? We just got the latest.
We should isolate that. Because I'll play it like 20 times a show.
Please, you say that times a show.
Usually to save your voice, but say the same thing.
Really? Is the guy, are they done speaking? I see Johnny going out there. Either that or there's appetizers that need to be delivered. What's going on?
Ouch.
Is it ready? All right. Ready? Okay, we are losing McClinton so they can play change. They'll be in with us shortly. Knock 'em dead, boys.
Knock 'em dead, boys.
To quote the great Johnny Race, rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Rock and roll.
Try not to knock 'em dead. Those little kids can take you. All right. So now
I hope he's not talking about his penis.
No.
The band is clearing out, leaving a trail of leather pants
and scarves and
scar and skull scarves.
Always the bassist has to be last.
Yes. Yeah, that's the way things go.
Well, yes. Thank you.
Okay, it's very nice of McClinton to come.
Basically, there's no animosity. Basically, we had a talk. The band is taking a harder edge, which is not conducive to keyboards. So,
By the way, the radio show. Taking a harder edge. Sorry, Joe. Your Yosemite Sam impressions aren't going to cut it anymore.
I'm still a member of Rotgut. We're still together.
Well, two times a year you can work.
It sounds like comedy.
You're the dress in Rotgut. You're the legs.
Yes. You can't do the show without me.
No, I'm glad it was an amicable breakup.
And you want to know something? Basically, the way bands work, I might be back in next year. The things change.
Oh, credit. I got to fight for you again.
And I think that it's cute that you would fight for him.
Well, that was a year ago. I don't know if I would do it now. After another year under the belt. Take him. No, there's a big conference. You should have him.
I'll drive him to the studio.
Oh, wow.
Joe's going on tour. Let me help him pack the bags. Yeah. Joe, it's going to be chilly. You should bring some extra sweaters.
Davin, you don't have to throw my stuff in the car. Like, oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Let's go,
Paris. I know you're bringing a lot.
It's 40 bucks. Yeah. Oh, believe me, when we go on the road, I bring everything. I'm bringing like...
Except the jokes. Yeah. That always gets left behind.
Are you a big packer?
Yes.
You packing big?
Yes. Budge.
Okay.
Oh, I saw. Oh.
I was going a different way, but same.
No,
same
mine was yours was
bad.
I brought when we went on the road, Michigan, in Ohio. I brought a lot of stuff, but I wound up using everything.
You know what? I end up bringing. You think that I need like lots of outfit changes or something, you know? It's like, right. I really don't. But I go away for a weekend, and it's like major troop movements.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Right, yeah.
But I end up using all of it.
Yeah. I always bring it home.
I went to San Francisco a little while ago, and it's like I had to bring all different kinds of clothes, but the weather out there is nuts. You start in a park in the morning, and then you're wearing a tube top by the afternoon. So, I mean, Joe, I'd like to see you in that outfit as well.
Yeah, wear a tube top.
I think I have in Rock Cut.
Yes.
Haven't I seen your tube top outfit?
Yeah, San Francisco weather is weird because it comes in off the bay. And, it's like a 20-degree difference.
Have you been there?
Yeah, I've been there. I just didn't know Al Roker walked in.
Oh, no.
Did you poop your pants like Mr. Roker, too?
I was going to say, put some down on the chair.
Can I stop for a sec? I heard...
Of course, Joe.
I heard something about Al Roker pooped
his
pants.
He's doing an interview, I guess, after he had the gastric bypass surgery. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, he thought he was going to just have gas. And he got a little bit more. He got bonus.
Yeah.
But I just don't know why he's telling the world about that. I mean, Al, some things are left
unsaid. He sharded.
Yeah, really.
He what?
Sharded.
Oh, he sharded.
All right. So, anyway, back on topic-ish.
Yes. Okay,
I wanted to talk about Pips. Because I have no – I took, like, one class at the JCC back – you know, some really Jews teaching martial arts. Really? First it's begging, then it's whining, then it's shopping.
You really? Should I want to break this board? Well, I could get sued.
I actually have a joke in my act. Only one. Exactly. Jewish ninjas. They don't throw Jewish. They don't throw Chinese stars. They throw Jewish stars. But you hear. Oh. You always hear them coming. Oi. They.
That's when you know how to die.
Yeah, but like, unlike when a Jewish star hits you, you don't die. You just get guilted into calling your mother, which is a fate worse than death. And that'll probably be the only time I do any of my awful act on the air. But it just seemed timely.
That's, yeah, okay.
Well, really, I was expecting you to sink your teeth into me for that.
No, because sometimes you get – no, it's out of a different context. I think we were doing last month where I used a portion of my act in the bit and I got called on a carpet. No doing your act. No doing your act, Worker. You got to write fresh. Okay.
Well, now that I've seen the fresh stuff, I'm going to go to the act. Yeah.
Thank you. I remember that.
So I have not really had martial arts training. Joe, when we saw him approach – I don't even know.
Well,
I don't even know if you know how to walk.
I took a karate class at 9 for 2 months. I don't think that considers me.
You would think you'd be a little better than what you did at the compound.
I was afraid to hurt my hand.
You have no music gigs this coming week, so you should be fine.
That's actually true.
I expect you to be an animal out there.
Yeah. That's actually one of the things that Sensei Federico said, though.
Frederico,
I'm sorry. Why do I keep calling him Frederico? I've been doing it for a couple of years now.
Because it sounds more porny.
Frederico, yeah, sorry.
Frederico.
But what he said to us when he was preparing us for when we were doing the board breaking and attempting the brick breaking at the compound was that if you attempt to break it and you have any sense of trepidation, you're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And that's why we were having a hard time.
Yeah.
It's because if you're thinking, I'm going to hurt my hand, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Well, unlike radio, I mean, because there's a lot of trepidation every time we go live, although yes. We can't do this either. But anyway. So now what was your martial arts training, Pip? Because you did actually really good. You were like into it when we did it at the compound a year ago.
I've got a lot of anger.
You certainly do.
A lot of anger.
But like what belt level did you get to?
Oh, you know what? I was still a white belt, but what I know.
Three years. She never graduated belt level.
No. Actually, what I did, I did it at college because I went back to school after having been to school. And at my new school, they had a gym class requirement, which blew my mind. I had no idea. But I decided to take karate because I thought that, this will be something that's useful to me.
Right.
At least I'll learn a couple of moves. And Sensei Ki was very, very helpful because he really did help you practice, well, not only, you know,
the moves, but also, you know, your sense of centering yourself before you attempt to do something like breaking a board. I'd never broken a board in our class,
right.
But I, you know, I did learn some of the basic moves, and I would have liked to have continued after that class was over, but, you know.
I happen to know an instructor.
You don't say.
If you want to make the 8-year-olds feel better about themselves, we can certainly arrange for you to take some lessons.
Sensei, I apologize.
Do you have a couple minutes?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, grab a seat. You guys share that mic, because this one stinks.
Okay.
All right. This is Sensei Ferdico. Fans of the show, longtime fans, have known he's been with us a couple times. He's one of the sponsors of Davin's Den, so we appreciate that.
You're very welcome, guys.
So, why bullying? Why is that such a hot topic issue for you? Because I've heard you speak about it in your classes.
It's getting worse. That's why.
Are the kids getting tougher?
No, the kids aren't getting tougher. They're getting more cruel. They're losing, I notice, a sense of empathy. You know, the bad kids have always been cool, especially at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that most children today are getting sucked in to a violent situation or a bullying situation out of their desire to feel accepted.
Okay.
And that acceptance is coming in the form of bullying, which is actually, it's destroying them. I'm seeing too many young people struggling right now. It's getting worse. It seems as if teachers and administrators are trying, as any rational adult would do, but it's not getting better.
So now we're doing the board break-a-thon.
Yes.
So what we're doing is we're raising money, and now I know it's involved with the local schools. How exactly, yes. How does that work?
We're going to identify children in the school district, mm-hmm, who can most benefit from martial arts training. And the money we're raising today is going to fund their martial arts education.
Okay. How many kids do you think you're going to be able to help?
Well, with the amount of money we've raised, especially through the help of Davin's Den and team, I would like to get at least 10.
That's pretty cool. That makes a big difference. Because you think about it, there's not that many kids in each school that are being bullied. So you should be able to help several schools.
Correct.
There's like every school probably has about like 3 kids that really just get it rough.
We're hoping it'll be contagious. That's what I'm looking for. You know, you take 10 and, you know, they teach what they've learned to 10. And, you know, not just the kicks and the punches, but the life lessons, how to avoid bullies, how to deal with them.
But that's what I've always dug about. I've never seen a Instructor Pereira teach, but I've seen you, because my daughter goes to you. You're a dojo. I've always liked the put in them what martial arts life is and how to act and everything, because I've seen it in my daughter. I don't know if we told it on the air, but I told Sensei about it a couple months ago in school, first grade. My kid's in first grade. There's this girl who's somewhat annoying. It annoys my daughter too.
Okay.
But the other kids were like calling her names and everything and being mean to her. And my daughter stepped in and said, you know, don't do that. She's not this. You shouldn't do that. And that, I mean, she's a good kid, but it also stems from something that Sensei Ferdico instilled in the kids right before school started. He said, for all my young students, because he's got a lot of young kids, your homework for this year is if somebody's being bullied, you stand up for them.
Yes.
And I was just so happy to hear that happened.
Choices are contagious. Kids follow other kids. Monkey see, monkey do.
Right.
Do a good monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah, don't do what Joe does. It's a bad monkey.
No, bad, it's very bad.
Bad monkey.
Bad monkey.
Stop throwing that.
We've gotten.
just caught that. Feeling bad about something else, and I'm like, why?
we can teach all we want. You know, we can bang guns, we can bang knives, we can bang rocks, we can bang sticks. And
bang rocks? What will the Palestinians do?
Ban rocks.
Banned!
But the reality is, until we deal with the issue of violence and how children are treating each other,
mm-hmm,
you know, they're not the future. That's where a lot of adults and administrators get it wrong. They're the now. We have to do this now. Okay.
Do you think a lot of the things that happen with pretty much kids, like with all these horrific crimes that have been happening lately, have been with kids in their 20s?
Yes, it's a generation.
Do you
lost.
Feel that's an effect?
Absolutely.
Effect of that?
These are kids who've been raised in an environment, in a society. Listen, I don't want to beat my chest and say it's society's fault, it's parents. There's a million reasons
right.
why. But until the collective group, okay, says this is wrong. And this has to stop now. You know, it's not about banning inanimate objects. It's not about, you know, teachers, you know, having to walk down the hall with students. It's about them governing themselves, teaching these kids what Skylar Rosenblatt did. Saw a kid getting bullied and said, hey, guys, this ain't right. Something's not right about this. This doesn't feel good. We shouldn't be doing this. That voice of reason is gone with these kids. You know, if they don't, you know, what happened in Connecticut was a worst case scenario.
Right.
I mean, really, some screwball bought her mentally challenged son a gun.
Yeah.
Really, whether it shot 10 rounds or one round, he should have been at a slingshot. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. That was just an irresponsible parent. You know, and when this kid did snap, he unleashed living hell. And that was a worst case scenario.
Right.
But you get people who are not really insane, who just have no respect for life. They have no balance of what's right and wrong. They'll get hurt and offended, and they'll take that anger and unleash it on everybody around them.
Right.
We see it on college campuses. We see it in high schools. See it every day in the inner city. Right now, there's a teenager in Detroit getting shot.
Right.
A gangster in Chicago lighting somebody up just last night, probably.
Right.
All right? Happens down in New York City, where we're from.
Right.
Happens all the time. And our focus shouldn't be so much on the tools. You know, crazy people and bad guys are always going to find a way to kill and hurt. But teaching young people, and again, I see almost like a detachment with some of them, to where they're afraid to stand up and say, this ain't right. It's like they've been silenced. They've been weakened.
Right.
And it from a sensei's point of view, a teacher, somebody who works with children, it scares the daylights out of me, man.
Now, what you brought up with the kids looking out for themselves and policing themselves, when you meet with the schools, do the schools have the same feeling that you do in regards to that?
They are, and again, they have a tough job. You couldn't pay me enough to be a school administrator. I'll say that honestly.
Mm-hmm.
They have either a limited amount of resources or are afraid of crossing a line.
Mm.
And angering parents by disciplining too rough, okay?
Yes.
Or, you know, having dissident groups, if you will, amongst the parents, you know, a PTA, angry PTA member.
Right.
They have so much to deal with, is what I'm saying. They've got so, it's not like they don't want to deal with this problem. They're doing the best with the tools they have.
Yeah.
But they don't have many tools to work with.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it seems what you're saying is very important.
The administrator's point of view, their best bet is to have a certain level of passiveness. You know, that's why if I'm in high school right now and I get punched in the face and the guy's going to punch me again and I hit him back, we're both suspended.
Right.
Right.
What kind of message does that send the children?
Right.
You can't defend yourself? You're a punching bag? That's school policy.
Yeah.
That's the tools these administrators have been given. And they're doing the best they can to work with it. Some schools differ from others. You know, I'm sure there are more proactive administrators and teachers, but they're stretched to the max as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oversized classrooms, budget cuts, drugs, gang problems. You know, there's just so much going on right now where eventually we have no choice but to give kids the tools to help themselves.
Right, right.
And it can't be the administrator coming to the rescue. I'll protect you. No, you
got
one superintendent and one principal, 400 kids. Good luck.
And it can't even be the teacher. I'm sorry to jump on your job, but can't even be the teacher. They don't have enough
time. They're
there
to teach.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't be policemen. They'll be stopping. They'll be stopping class every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And the one thing that's important is that you teach the kids respect of themselves and respect to other people. And if you have a kid in school that's like shy, or, you know, a little different than the other kids, with that respect, you know, if you teach the kids respect, they'll respect him and respect, you know, the way he is.
It's contagious.
And
choices are contagious.
Yeah, and that kid that may be a little different will know that he is not ostracized.
Correct.
And he is treated. And
what I taught the kids this morning was to make the bullies feel uncomfortable.
Mm.
That's what's not happening. If you got two or three wise guys in your class, and you're in a class of 25 kids, why are you uncomfortable?
Right.
Get together with your buddies and say, hey, we don't want to deal with this.
Right.
We don't want this in our class. We don't want to live. We don't want you picking on us.
Mm.
We don't want you. We want to see you hurting other kids in the schoolyard. Knock it off. And let me tell you, when those two or three wise guys are now surrounded by 20 classmates, they're going to be uncomfortable.
Right.
They're not going to want to go to school. They're going to have to change their behavior to be accepted back into the group again.
Right, right.
That's what's not happening. These are the tools we're not teaching kids. The teachers can't do it for them.
Right, because the administrators feel funny about it.
They got standards to meet, an aptitude test to administer. It never ends.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Administrators are bogged down. we got to give kids, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not advocating a Lord of the Fly situation.
Right,
here,
right.
Right.
But in the grander scheme of things, where if a kid's getting bullied in the schoolyard by one kid, next thing you know, that one bully is surrounded by 20 good guys saying, knock it off. We don't want to live like this.
Right.
We don't want you doing this in our school.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That kid gets now put back into place real quick.
Right.
I like
that's
what you...
That's what needs to happen, and that's what's not happening.
I like what you just said about you don't want it to turn into a Lord of the Flies situation, because you don't want it to go...
Kids cannot govern themselves, but they can be taught right from wrong.
Right.
And they should be given the tools to have courage and self-respect and to say, hey... That's wrong.
Right, but we don't want
to go so far
mm-hmm. over into the other side. Like what you're saying is having the kids surround the bully and say, that's wrong. You also don't want to overcorrect.
The difference between a good guy and a bad guy is one bad choice. Mm-hmm. No, don't become what you hate.
Right.
But when that bully, like I said, now has to confront 20 kids who say, knock it off, we don't want to live like this.
Right.
That's not bullying. Mm-hmm. That's self-defense.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
I'm not saying circle them and throw rocks at them.
Right. I just wanted you to make that distinction.
I'm not saying circle the wagons, but...
in a way, it's circling the wagons because you have the right to defend yourself. It's just don't become the thing you hate, as you said. Don't become... Now here's this group of bullies bullying the bully.
There's a fine line.
There is.
You know, every cop is a criminal kind of philosophy. Yes. I get it. But, again, don't be... And that's the thing. Don't be afraid of confronting... A bully.
Right.
With the group, it's not mob mentality. It's the group getting together and saying, we're not going to accept this. Not that we hate you. Not that you're ugly. Not that we're going to stone you.
Right.
Not that we're going to curse at you or flip you the bird. We're here to tell you, knock it off. We don't want this. We don't want this in our classroom. We don't want it in our schoolyard. We don't want it on our internet. We just don't want it.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're just not going to accept it. It's unacceptable. What you're bringing into my life.
Mm-hmm.
Our lives.
Yes.
We want out.
Mm-hmm.
Knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong, I think, with children doing that, especially after it's been brought to the attention of administrators and a teacher. Hey, there's a bully in class. This kid's making trouble.
Right.
Okay? If it's not going away, if it's getting physical or to the point where somebody's being mentally abused, they're not going to school. Yes, there's nothing wrong with the collective saying, hey, pal, knock it off. I don't want this in my life.
And that's the fine line, too, is that there's a difference between, like, I mean, you can't use our show as an example, but there's a difference between the fine line of...
You can't use our show as an example of anything. what not to do when a bunch of alcoholics get together.
We can't give birth to a generation of punching bags.
Right,
We can't, and these kids are taught to be passive. They're mm-hmm. taught to be docile. They're taught to be too accepting of... Of catastrophe and violence and wrongdoing. That's the thing. We're afraid to look at it because we don't want to be judgmental people. And we, even our generation, judgmental? Oh, you're not cool, man. Stop judging me, man.
That's a real dirty word.
You don't want to judge me, but we're afraid to say that's evil.
Yes.
It's wrong to mentally abuse somebody. You're an evil SOB.
Mm-hmm.
No. That kid doesn't want to go to school with you. You're bad.
And it's also a little subtle sometimes about when somebody is being emotionally, verbally abused. That's why I'm saying you can't use our show as an example because we verbally abuse the hell out of each other. But you don't want kids to not understand the difference between a little gentle ribbing, joking, and verbal and emotional
abuse.
It's something that I had to learn as a kid.
There's a fine line.
Yeah.
There is a fine line. I mean, you know, and... It's very common, especially amongst teenage males. You know, you spoof on each other.
Right. Yeah,
it happens. But there are... I had a conversation with one student of mine. He goes, my friend's bullying me. And it went from goofing around
mm-hmm.
to him saying hurtful things about his parents, his clothes, the way he spoke.
Right.
I mean, it just graduated from, hey, guys cracking on each other.
Yeah.
And that's normal. And that's another thing we have to deal with. These kids today, they're too sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like sheep amongst the wolves,
yeah.
man. It's bad. They have no confidence, self-respect, okay? And it's getting worse. It's gotten worse in the past decade, I see. Mm-hmm. I'm by no means an old man. I'm 37 years old.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing a difference even with the kids coming out of college.
Yeah.
Where I was in 1999 when I graduated and where these kids are, I'm like... They can hardly tie their shoes without adult supervision. Mm-hmm. They're 23 and 24 years old.
Well,
and
as a comedian.
What happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
As a comedian, when you perform in front of people that are like their 30s and stuff like that, you can bust chops. You can have fun. But sometimes if you do a college gig or something like that, you say so. Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. Really? Yeah. You said that.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, so,
the PC police.
Very sensitive.
Even back in the late 90s, we were a bunch of drunk wise guys.
Yeah. Supposed to each other's chops.
Now, these kids, they become very softened.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
Yeah.
Intellectually. Even physically in some respects.
Yeah.
And they've just become very, like I said, very docile. And it's not a good way to live. It's not a healthy way for a person to be. And so there's a lot of things going on with bullying, unfortunately. You get the situations where the kid's not really being bullied. Mm. He's just a sensitive Sally, we'll call him.
Okay. Right.
Hey, it happens. Yeah. You get a sensitive kid. And that's a whole other ball of wax. Mm-hmm. That's a kid who has to be taught self-confidence.
Mm. Well, and martial arts helps with that, too.
And then you have the kid who is getting bullied and won't stick up for himself, and they have to be taught self-respect. But again, even our generation who've given birth to these kids, it wasn't cool to judge somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, who are you to judge? Or don't judge. Or, don't judge me. But hey, pal, what you're doing is, inconveniencing everybody here.
Yeah.
we're not quick enough to say, just knock it off.
Right. Yeah.
We're afraid to define normal. That's what it really comes to. We're afraid to define normal.
It's interesting at an early age. I lost my father at 6, and I was raised by my grandmother and my mother. And I was kind of a sensitive kid, and I needed guidance. And I was, when people picked on me, I got upset. And I also was like kind of a mama's boy. And in the same thing that you grooming kids, I joined the Boy Scouts, and I learned a lot that, you're with guys, and this is the way, have self-respect for yourself. And, grow up a little bit and, be respectful of others and stuff like that. And it was a great experience. And, the same with what you're doing here.
It's got to get to the point where somebody's just got to try something.
Yeah.
I don't know if this will work. I didn't wake up this morning, pound on my chest and say, I'm off to save the day. I woke up this morning and I'm like, I work with kids. Parents trust me with their children. I just feel some kind of, just a sense of responsibility.
Right, right.
This is my community. This is where I live. My children are 19 months and one's starting kindergarten.
Yeah.
One's going to be 5 in March. And they're going to be going to the schools behind these kids.
Right.
So I have a selfish interest here, actually.
Yeah.
I want to make sure these kids don't turn the school district into a jungle. So by the time my kids get there, I got to give them guns to go to study hall.
Right. And let me tell you,
they're dodging bullets. I don't want my children to grow up
in
that situation.
And what you're doing is very important because you're a role model to these kids. And
I'm trying, man.
The lessons, and I can tell you as a fact, the lessons that you're teaching them are going to be lessons that they're going to follow through their life. Lessons that probably even tell their grandchildren come to them. What you're doing is very good.
Everything I teach, I live by. With the lessons I gave today, I plan on passing on to my sons. I've already started with my oldest boy who's in daycare.
Right.
He's in preschool. And I actually got a very negative reaction from one of his babysitters one time. A kid was choking him and hurt him.
Really?
Yeah. The teacher was there. It's a daycare. They have a small group, so it was diffused immediately. I told him, if anybody ever chokes you, you push them off of you as hard as you can, and you ram their hands into your chest to do it. And the babysitter's eyes got wide. And again, she's younger. She's a late 20s, mid-20s.
Oh, there you go.
She couldn't believe I was saying this to a child. As a parent, I don't want my kid getting choked out. I don't want to get a phone call. Sorry, your child's dead. His trachea got cracked
in the playground.
I'd rather him push somebody off of him and live.
Yes.
Well,
what is wrong? And the baby, she was appalled. I was teaching my kid to be violent. I'm not teaching my kid violence. I'm teaching him life.
Yes.
I'm teaching him to survive.
Yes. To defend
himself. Bad people exist, and that's another thing we're afraid to say.
Yeah.
Bad people exist. There are evil, rotten, horrible people out there. And I know everybody's got a story, but we got to deal with it. Right now, there's a neglected kid in the inner city somewhere. There's even a kid up here in a trailer park somewhere. There's a kid up here in a $500,000 home somewhere.
Right.
Being neglected. It's in all levels of society, all colors, all shapes, all income brackets. They're being abused physically or mentally. They're being neglected. They're not being raised right. Parents are preoccupied, or they just have no parenting skills. And you know what happens? These kids get unleashed into the mainstream.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we got to deal with it. And it sucks, but it's the truth.
I don't mean to interrupt.
Yes.
I heard that they're going to be having instructors soon.
Yes.
So that would be you.
Oops. I'm sitting here chatting up with your crew.
I'm not saying you got to go now, but there's a whole bunch of black belts
I got to go break some boards. You guys have fun. I want to
thank you so much.
Thank you guys,
thank you
the Davin's
so much,
Den team for support. Jester's Comedy Club, Walt Parpadillo, unbelievable people. All the money, Skylar Rosenblatt.
Walt actually asked me, so I'll ask you. Are you guys going to throw away all that wood? Because he could use some kindling. He was dead serious about it.
Tell him to get some
I'm going to go tell him right now.
I also want to thank Davin's daughter, Skylar Rosenblatt, who raised the most money for this event.
Oh, wow. Very good.
108 boards.
Wow.
I now have to go out and slam my fist through. Thank you, Skylar. I will remember that. We'll be doing push-ups for every broken knuckle I get. And once again, guys, thanks for
thank
the support.
Thank you so much,
and,
Russ.
You guys
thank you so much.
Really appreciate
Take care,
it.
Russ.
You guys ready to rock?
We're ready to rock.
All right, good. Johnny, that means you too.
Yeah, baby.
All right, good.
Johnny, not ready to rock. John is born to rock.
Johnny is playing with his phone before he gets ready to play with his instrument. Where are you guys setting up? Are you going to play over there? And then we can.
I guess.
Yeah. Can you guys fit over there? And then we'll put the camera over towards you.
Wait.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, this is going to be a little disjointed while we get ready for you to hear the musical stylings of McClinton.
Musical stylings.
All right, are we getting the band McClinton set up in here?
Yeah, yes.
All right. Now, are we going to do an interview first or a song first? What do you guys want? I guess they're setting play.
A song, and then we'll do the interview.
Oh, right. Let's give them as many microphones as we can.
what song are you guys playing?
We're gonna do all in the past.
Are you sure?
Well, there's another version that I almost said. We can't do that version today. Well, we could, but she very true. Oh. Yeah. So the song's called All in the Past.
Mirror, you know what you're looking at. Oh girl, you
know. You know it's all in the past. I didn't let you go. Oh yeah, didn't let you go. Cause we know it's all in the past.
We'll take it back.
Yeah, we're taking them back.
Thanks,
guys. That was really great.
Oh.
And we're going to have, we're going to have Mike sit over here on the guest mic.
There's another chair, but everyone else stand behind.
Yeah, you guys stand over on that side. I'm going to turn this around.
Albert can sit right here. And tips.
We're just doing a little bit of transferring of the chairs and where everybody's going to sit for a while. All right, well, I can't see you. Can you guys see? No, you guys are you guys have to tell me. Am I picking you up on the camera now?
Yeah, we're on the camera, yeah.
That's great. You want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Michael Glenton.
Albert Rosa. Vinny Sardo.
Johnny Race.
Hold it, Johnny. You guys say Johnny Rock and Roll Race. Give me a good Johnny Rock and Roll Race.
Johnny Rock and Roll Race.
There he is.
Yeah, whoever's going to speak, move yourselves a little bit closer up to the... don't be afraid of the mic, guys. You weren't afraid of the mic just a moment ago. I know. Thank you for. I know you guys got in kind of late, and you're getting up early to get up here and do this for us. Thank you very much. Mm. Really appreciate it. So, what have you guys been up to?
What's been going on?
A couple things going on. We're recording our new album, and we're working with a new producer, Leo Cantonio.
Close to the mic, please.
You got a mic. Is that the mic? No, that one.
No, that one. That one's a stinky, stinky mic.
I'm sorry. We have to tell a lead singer to speak into the microphone.
Don't be afraid.
I'm not scared. Nothing scares me except Joe in the morning.
Stop.
All right, I'll stop being a comedian.
Yeah,
that's Joe's job.
No, I mean, we got a lot going on. We have a summer tour coming up with Gorilla Music.
Mm.
We also have some UK dates with her name's Jenny, but it's...
you're going across an ocean to some girl named Jenny. Jenny's going to meet you there.
So nothing's changed since the last time I interviewed you guys.
You know what, man? Yeah, it has. We ain't opening for Firehouse. they finally found the wrong love of a lifetime.
Yeah, right. Just as long as you don't lock the keys in the truck, that's fine.
Oh. Is that something that actually happened?
No, it actually happened, yeah. My son locked the keys. We're getting ready to go on open for Firehouse. And my son goes, Dad, I can't get into the van. I'm like, why? He goes, because I locked the keys in the van. I'm like, asshole.
Well, wait.
How does it feel to be raising a baby Joe?
Now, was all your equipment in?
Take a look at his future.
All the equipment was on the stage, you know, but it was just the point that the food was in the van.
Oh, that's smart.
And
cigarettes, too.
And we were 250 miles away from home.
Oops.
I would trip back to Jersey, not back to Long Island.
I actually literally broke the window because, I mean, I'm pulling on it. I just, like...
Oh,
yeah. I was trying to just pop it open enough to get the arm in. But
And then we found a guy
just to get the smokes, right?
And one of the security guys, John, goes, hey, he's Puerto Rican. Maybe he can fix the window.
Oh, no!
But he did. Well, it blew out in 95, 20 minutes later. But nonetheless, the heart was there. You know, yeah, the heart was there.
You know what it's like trying to drive back from, like, where were we? Boston. You were in Boston.
Yeah.
We're driving back from Boston, and it's, like, really cold out, and you've got the heater cranked, and the wind's coming through the side door, like Joe's hair is blowing all over the place.
Joe's hair.
And this was after a little disagreement between Michael and one of the guitar players at the time.
Yeah, I was going to kill the guy. I really wanted to beat him up.
And Michael and him were almost going to blows in front of this bodega, and I'm sitting in the back of the van with Johnny going, I thought there was no drama with this, because I just was in a van like maybe 3 weeks. There was no drama here.
What the hell's a bodega?
It's like
a bodega.
A bodega?
Yeah. It's a bodega, actually.
You speak for a living, correct?
Not often.
The way you ran across the building when you heard that.
He did.
I have Joe's stupidity detectors. They were going off like crazy in Aruba in the Bahamas. There was nothing I could do.
Believe me.
It's kind of like Gator, ain't it?
Believe me.
Yes, but more sex.
If my stupidity detectors were going off while you were in the Bahamas, they might have been chiming really loud. But that's a story for another day. But anyway.
Not another day. It'll be Tuesday.
Yeah.
Still 6:30.
Yes.
These two have a stupid mind meld.
Yeah.
We have a lot going on. I just recently built a 5,700 square foot recording studio rehearsal.
Hey, tell us more about the studio.
Heard about that?
It's very nice. Was it the grand opening?
Stop looking
beautiful
at
place.
Yourself.
I can't.
I know he's mesmerized.
You look at his eyes.
What are you a
mesmerized?
I'm making sure I look good.
What are you a parakeet, Mike?
Oh,
no.
I
want
to feel everything? Like Vanilla Ice. No.
Oh no.
Don't name yourself. The chat will name you. Don't worry.
You have a lot of helpers out there.
Trying to read is what I'm trying to do.
Don't do that. We learned at the compound.
Don't read the chat. It's not good in there.
We opened up me and my fiance Ronnie opened up she's a girl, not a guy.
Nice.
Just want to clear that up. You know?
Thank you. After mentioning the gator earlier.
Guess.
Yeah.
Guess who's not getting late tonight? All right. Well, that's nice.
But no, we opened up a 5,700 square foot rehearsal recording studio and live venue in Wayne, New Jersey. And we have, you know, right now we have like four or five different bands recording there. It's really picked up really well. It's a nice venue. It's a home atmosphere. Like our lobby and our lounge, you come in, TV's hanging on there, there's a couch. It's like a living room. So I mean, it's just a comfort zone for the band, for our band as well, but for other bands to come and instead of going to these slob holes that, you know, the equipment don't work, you know, carrying their equipment up 20, 30 steps, you know, you could walk right into this place. It's just, it's a nice place for people to come and play.
It's well thought out for musicians by musicians.
Yeah, it was built by musicians. So.
It's a very friendly atmosphere. Usually when you go to a studio, it's kind of like, it's cold and there's a small couch, but it's set up so well.
Leave the den out of this.
But it's set up so well and it's a very...
Are there Barbie dolls in the places that you go to?
Yes, Michael, will there be any Barbie dolls in the studio? I think that's perfect for a drum
solo.
Wait,
let me tell you something. I have a brand new baby girl, 8 months old.
Oh, congratulations.
Baby girl,
the littlest one.
Charlie Gabriella, along with my three other children.
He's the lead singer. They procreate.
Yes.
We do that the best, believe me. Yes. Anyhow, but no, Charlie actually frequents the place often. She's the boss. She has her own playpen there, and she hangs out on the couch and tells me what to do. Cool.
Oh, so there will be Barbie soon.
Yes, yeah. There will be Barbies there soon.
You can't avoid getting a Barbie in the butt when you sit on a couch any place.
And
leave your fantasies out of this.
Oh, sorry. I can't help myself.
I think she was thinking Ken, but no,
it's
definitely Barbie.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's those little pointy feet. Oh.
Tickles the colon.
Anyhow, so yeah, we got some really good things going on. We're working with right now I'm working with four different promoters, and we will be on the road this year, which is some of the contracts have been signed. We'll be out there. We'll be doing a lot of things.
Do you have cities already?
I know Chicago. I know in London. I know all the London dates if I look at my phone.
But, right.
Birmingham, Manchester. We're going to head over to Scotland.
Wow!
So, yeah, we got some good dates.
Now, if there was a band that wanted to come and perhaps use the studio, how would they get in touch with you? Do you have a website?
Yes, Obsession Studios, and that's Obsessions Studios with two S's .com.
Okay, good.
And, yeah.
And a phone number. Now, I just want to let our listening audience know that the Obsession Studios will be on our show. We will be plugging them and doing a hell of a lot better job than the owner just did.
Joe, it's
I've dealt weed usually, and gave better directions.
Usually I'm not even mad at
oh, today.
I'd like to bring up. Well, we are missing a member, Frank Rhea. He's not here.
What does he play?
He's a guitar player. He's not the guitar player.
Okay, because I was like, we got all the major food groups covered here.
He's a guitar player, but he had some work he had to do today, and he couldn't be here. And
bastard. No.
he's an X-ray technician by day. And,
oh wow.
And a guitar player at night.
There was a broken femur. He couldn't come.
He couldn't. come. but we do miss him. Wish you were here, Frank.
Well,
Albert
here
is our bass player and a very fine bass player. Mm. He is. You're welcome. And then we got Vinny.
Can you guys at least zip up when you're done blowing each other? Seriously.
That's a funny story.
I'm glad I'm no longer in the band. It wasn't a bad thing.
Joe's just not a team player. It all makes sense.
Just let out a sigh of relief here.
The problem is he didn't swallow. Yeah.
Is this part of the new harder edge you were talking about?
It was the dress, wasn't it? And when you were put off by the dress.
Listen, we're writing this new song, and Frankie calls me and he goes, he's as bad as Johnny when it comes to calling me. I mean, he'll call me all time, hours of night.
Yeah, so, let me stop right there. Let's explain John and his phone calls. You will get a call from Johnny Race at about 10:30, 11 at night. I love you, brother. I love you too, John. What's going on? I don't know. I'm entertaining a drunk right now. What's going on?
hey, Johnny, so, how many vodkas deep are you?
Yeah.
Frank calls me sober, actually. Yeah. And he'll be like, he called me the night. He goes, dude, I'm working on a new song. He says, when I'm done, it's going to give you a hard on. I'm like, right on, dude. But if you give me a hard on, you got to give me the happy ending. And he goes, no, Albert will take care of that. He threw Albert right under the bus, man.
You are so much more manly now that you are no longer in this band.
I thought we were screwing you.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Joe, we're gaying it up here, and I don't know if you want to get into it.
Usually keyboards are the instrument to gay it up.
Yeah.
But you guys
that's
so
true.
Gay.
You're right. You're absolutely
not even
right.
Keyboards can even man it up. Yeah.
Sort of gilded
you guys
the
have
lily.
So much gain is going on. You don't even need Joe.
We don't need it.
We got Johnny Race.
You know, this is gay enough. Give Curry a call.
You know what? After hearing your little stories, Princess, I think Johnny might be the most masculine person in the band.
Mandy's blouse and all.
That's not a bad thing.
But, we got some pretty cool stuff going on. And, it's I don't know. It's like, we started over. You know, we wanted to resurge everything after the last things that happened with the band. You know, a lot of everybody's like, well, you keep changing people. Well,
yeah, I know. No, but anyway,
I want to clear something up right now. We did not replace Joe Curry.
I'm kidding.
I know that, but I want to clear this up.
I'm kidding.
We did not replace Joe Curry. Like, we didn't bring another keyboard in and say, fuck Joe Curry. Yeah.
Can I go on air right now? I want to go on air right now and say, I am looking to replace Joe Curry.
I have nights.
I love this,
I have some
this whole show about bullying.
Joe, are the bus wheels still on you, honey? Are you okay?
Yes.
The wheels on the bus go
round and round and round.
But, no, so I mean.
Over Joe. Yeah. He's under there so often.
there's a lot of people that support the band that that you know was absolutely flatters me, like Randy Jackson from Zebra. Mm. The man wears our shirt every time he plays an acoustic set. You know,
wow.
I'm getting tagged in pictures while I'm at rock concerts, and I'm going, I'd rather look at my shirt on Randy Jackson than watch Godsmack play. I was at the Rockstar Energy Drink thing with. I don't remember who even played. It seems so long ago. Remember?
Was it Shinedown?
Right. Shinedown, Godsmack, and whatever.
Where was that show?
That was at PNC.
Okay.
And I'm getting like all these texts come across my phone, and I'm like, I'm looking, and there's Randy Jackson wearing a McClinton shirt. You know, that's pretty cool. That's the cool things. And then we went to see them up at the Paramount, and Randy's just like the chillest dude.
He's a great dude, man. He really is, and he's one of the guys where I've always been you know, Zebra on Long Island was the shit.
Right.
And to know the guy now, bullshit with the guy, you know, and talk with the guy,
he's a
great dude.
You know, it's like we can hang out and just talk like me and Albert, or me and Johnny, or me and Vinny. Or,
yeah.
And it's really cool. And there's a lot of other people that, like, I have Matt Palsier from, I can't say the name of the band because he hates it, but but he's my studio recording right now. His studio got broken into. They stole his computer. They stole his mics. They stole everything, which is very uncool. So
very.
I said, hey, yeah. I said, Matt, you know, we're friends. Come and record at the studio.
Mm.
And he was like, he looked at me like I had like five heads.
Mm.
But I did it because, you know, he wants to finish his album.
Right, right.
And that would be the cool thing to do. So I just said, come in and, you know. And it really worked out because he's promoting the studio as well.
Right.
And that's what it's about. It's about helping other musicians. There's not a lot of musicians out there that'll do that. You get so many cocky people out there that just don't care about – they care about themselves and what they can do. And that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, music's about is about the fans and about people, that, you know, joining together.
Yeah, I've always looked at it that way myself, that we're all a family, we're all in this together. But you're right. There's a lot of guys out there that aren't like that.
And that's a cool thing. I mean, it's like with Randy. You know, Randy's a really chill person. You get to hang with him. You get to, you know, talk to you. Like Johnny called him to get our flat tire changed on the RV when we went to the Hamptons.
Wow. Yeah, Randy. You had Randy change your tire? No. Who's behind the door? Who's under the RV?
No, he actually called him and he was just like, "Hey, Randy, we're in your neck of the woods. Do you know anybody that you know that could change the tire?" And Randy says to me like 2 weeks later, I go and see him. He's like, "Why did Johnny call me to get your tire changed?" He said, "Was he drinking?" I said, not at that point he wasn't, no.
Never heard of AAA?
Oh, we tried AAA.
Oh, you did?
Sucks. AAA sucks balls.
Oh, so no.
I go online to say AAA sucks balls. What do you think, Albert?
Yeah, sure do.
Oh. Okay, you say that like a man who knows.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You know the you know the show, right? This is what we do.
This is a comedy act.
Yeah, this is a comedy show.
No, it's just it's a new experience with the new guys that are in the band, you know, and it's a good experience because we are actually like brothers. I mean, it's like we don't want to do it. Like we have some big shows coming up that you know we could Vinny might not be able to do, and we don't want to do them without him, so we're not going to do them.
Well, you know, that is one of the things that my husband's a drummer. I don't know if you knew that.
Sorry to hear that.
Drummer humor. And you're the quietest, nicest one, and they're just throwing you under there. Yeah.
You don't know him.
I guess I don't.
only right now he's quiet.
Yeah, he's being, oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, Mr. Helix is like that, too. He's a quiet person in front of people he doesn't know very well, and then at home I can't shut him up.
Nah, but
not that I want to.
Vinny's a good guy.
But,
on earth.
But that's a tough thing.
Best in the pocket drummer I've ever met.
That's very nice.
If I can interject.
Look at that.
If I can interject
we'll
something.
We'll isolate that for you. You can play that over and over again in the van. So you can remind him on those days where he's not being so complimentary. But, you know, that seems like a tough thing because, you know, just seeing, you know, my husband go through it, that you spend a lot of time with the guys in the band. If you don't get along, it's brutal. You know, so it's nice that you guys have sort of a brotherhood going, and you know, you're supposed to bust each other, but you know, on a
what happened when I left, they were blowing each other. Now they're brothers.
Yeah, it's incestuous in here.
This is really a creep.
It's all about family, bitch.
Yeah.
You missed the whole breakup reunion.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a very creepy rock band.
It's turned.
But I like the hook. It's very unique.
It's turned into one of those VH1 Behind the Music specials. It's really.
This will be the best Behind the Music ever.
Probably.
And then they were blowing each other.
If Johnny don't end up on what's that reality show? What,
yeah,
what
keep going. We have all night for you to stutter through it. Is that how you introduce
the
songs?
You know what I like that.
This is he just looks at Albert. What is this song called?
This is a song. That's
Albert's role, bass player and explainer.
Oh come on, Davin. There's only one reality show. You know what's going on.
Yeah, extraordinaire.
Johnny's going to be on the reality show Top Chef. Is that what you were going for?
Yeah. Yeah.
Today's sliders.
I completely lost.
You act surprised like you haven't been part of this
before.
Listen,
no, I've been part of this before. I love coming on David's show. I really do.
Sucker.
You don't look it.
Neither do we.
Fucking sleeping.
Dude, what are you doing? Because from the camera view, it doesn't look good. Something's going on under the table, and we don't do that.
Joey, are you trying to get back in the band?
All the band members are upright. I don't want to hear shit.
Oh, that's funny.
Where did Joe go?
Yeah. Well,
don't get that started, man.
You're going to London.
All I saw was his hand.
Right. London Bridge is going down.
You're back in, Joe. You're back in.
Do what it takes.
Yeah. We knew if we abused them long enough, it would happen.
How to swallow. That's awesome.
Oh.
So now I understand that the band is going for slightly harder edge now. Now, what's the move when you do something like that? When you
me out of the room.
Joe off keyboards. No,
Joe, shut up front under the bus. I'm trying to talk to you. No, so what do you do with your old songs is what I meant. Is
no,
like,
we're still going to play the songs. I mean, we kind of picked them up a little bit. We made it a little bit harder, a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
But we're writing with different people now, too. It's like it's not just with the first album, I wrote most of the songs, and then I brought the guys from the Ataris in, and they did the music.
If I can interrupt, don't discount the first album. The first album is very, very, very good.
Thank you, Joe. I'm not discounting it. Yes. Yeah. The way we wanted to go was just a little more more melodic, you know, with a little heavier edge, a little more fuller drum sounds, more crunchier guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first album is mostly acoustically based stuff, which these songs are, the new songs are as well, but they just have more crunch behind them instead of like coming out and just being like regular guitar chords. We got some really cool stuff going on behind them.
If you were going to say we're sounding more like fill in the blank, what kind of band would you say you sound more like now?
Creed, Three Doors Down.
Okay.
Daughtry.
Just to get, because, you know, unfortunately we didn't get the full power of McClinton because we just don't have the equipment here. You know, so we have the acoustic version, which was very nice.
Well,
but
we're
talking
like
about
Google
a harder
dolls.
Edge.
We were more like the Google Dolls, Matchbox 20. Now we've raised the bar just a little bit to go a little bit heavier.
I've also noted from Facebook, there's a little more, it is more guitar heavy, a lot more guitar work with the leads between Frank and Johnny, I've noticed on a couple of songs.
Yeah, they're sharing a lot of the leads. They're blending the leads in a little bit better so they could, you know, they can harmonize a little bit better and get everything worked out. So we wanted a fuller sound.
Nice.
The sound just wasn't, I mean, it's a great sound, it just wasn't really full.
Right.
And that's what we want. We want a full sound.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Frankie's got that rough edge on him.
Yeah, Frankie's more of a guitar player from like.
He's got some really good groups, you know. We used to be in the cover band. He used to, you know, we used to do a lot of like the Alex in Chains and stuff like that. And,
oh yeah.
So and you know Shine Down and stuff like that. So we like that a little bit, you know.
Why are we telling musicians to talk into the mic?
I know. Well,
you're entertainers, damn it.
Because there have been so many dick jokes, they're afraid to approach the mic that closely now. It's just a microphone, dude. Get in there because the audience wants to hear you as well as see you. Yeah.
But that's how it's going.
Closer. A little closer. Yeah. Open your mouth a little bit more. Yeah. Lick your lips, man. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, your fantasy is coming true.
Yeah, right about now. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But that's the route we're going. You know, Frankie, I wish he was here because, you know, he'd speak for himself. But excellent lead guitarist and rips it up. And I guess now with a lot of the new stuff that we're doing, he's actually putting a lot of work into it. And works out really nice for everybody.
That's really nice to hear. Well, we'll isolate that, too, so that when you guys are ripping him apart in the van someday, you can hear that and go, wow, they really like me.
Yeah, I'm pretty, yeah.
Well, cause,
he's a big dude. I wouldn't want to mess with him.
But it,
he's a big dude, but he's like a big teddy bear.
Is Frank like new guy, so he's not getting as beat up as there?
Frank and Albert both came at the same time.
Thank you.
Frank and Albert both came at the same time. We did a little bit of a change. They joined the band at the same time, and was as well as Vinny. Vinny joined like a month before they did, and we kind of just needed to revamp. It wasn't there was people, not Joe.
He was ready.
Not even Chris Ryder. I mean, Chris Ryder was a great guitar player. And he's still, to me, I feel like he's still our brother. Mm. Just he wanted to move do his doctor thing, which is awesome. I applaud that. But we wanted to bring people in that wanted to tour, wants to play music, wants to be there, Chris was unsure of what he wanted to do. And same with Steve. We love Steve to death. Still today, he's like a brother. Mm. But he wanted to do more of, he wanted to be with his family.
Yeah.
And I understand that. You know, I have a brand new baby. I get that 100%.
Yeah.
But
this is my life. This is where I want to be. I mean, the stage is where I want to be. I don't want to be anywhere else.
Well, you know, that,
and if that doesn't work out, the studio will. So that's,
right.
Well, that's a good combination to have the studio and then also to have the musician life, because I mean, at this stage of the game, it's like we're getting older kids, and it's like there's family, there's girlfriends, you know, there's kids, there's the day job, and so if you want to go out on the road, that makes a really tough choice. You have to make a choice.
Day jobs. So yeah, I think we're about ready to sign a deal, sign a contract where we can get rid of the day jobs.
Wow,
so
that'd be fantastic.
It's not a contract as far as like a record contract goes. It's just a partnership with somebody that's bringing in a lot of clout and a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Money. Thank you.
Capital.
Capital. That's what I was looking for. He's bringing in a lot of capital.
You have a producer, the executive producer. They don't really do anything for you, but they hand over the wallet.
Well, our producer Leo Jorge did a 300 violins for, and he's featured all over NFL, NHL.
Wow.
And Fox Sports. I mean, he's a very talented young man. He's 22. And he's been doing it since he released his song at 16, and he's a very, very talented man. And he kind of said it was weird how it started. Me and him were just sitting on a couch and we wrote a few songs together, and he was inspired by what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, I have the faith, I believe in what you guys are, and that's why he wants to do it. And he's he's a very talented kid. He's young, but he's very talented, very smart.
It sounds like he's encouraging.
He is encouraging. I mean, every day I look at him, like, I'm just like, where did you get that, bro? Where are you coming up with? Like last night we were at the diner. He's like, we go back to the studio. I got this melody line. In my head. I want to do it. And we went back to the studio. He started playing. I'm like, where does this come from? He's just like, I just hear it. I hear it in my head. And he showed me. And I don't understand. I don't get Spanish music. I don't speak Spanish or anything. But
okay.
He's gonna take over.
Oh, okay. So, but I don't get it. He played me the CD last night, and I was just like, he's like, just listen to the music. You're not gonna understand the lyrics. Just listen to the music. And I listened to the music, and I was like floored. I was blown away by the music that this band who's over in the Dominican right now, and they're doing amazing.
Mm.
You know. So
we got to unfortunately, we got to say goodbye to McClinton because this is wrapping up. We got to get Instructor Prayer on.
Okay.
So what's the next gig that we're plugging? When's
Instructor
the
Prayer? Well, gig. We have three shows. We have three shows that are going on right now. On the 9th, we have a show coming up at the studio with Revenir, mm-hmm, and 10 other bands.
Okay.
On the 16th, we are at Crossroads in Garwood, New Jersey. We're with Bluesfield Drive, Ascending from Ashes, and Dan Sheehan Experience, Conspiracy, and then we're doing the up in Long Island. We're doing the Cystic Fibrosis benefit.
Oh, you're doing the Berries thing?
I don't know if it's acoustic yet. We were trying to figure out if Frankie's going to make it or if he can make it because he works on the Sundays. So, but we will be there. McClinton, some of the members of McClinton will be there, and come out, enjoy yourself, donate some money for the cystic fibrosis because it's a good cause. My sister had cystic fibrosis, and I know it's tough to live with. So
the website.
Thank you for having us on the show.
Website, Mike?
It's obsessionstudios.com, or you could check out McClinton at mcclintonmedia.com and mcclintonmusic.com.
Why can't people hear anything? I don't know why people can't.
Right.
I don't know.
Facebook. You can Facebook. It's Facebook at McClinton, Facebook.com. And, go to Davin's show. And
you get, now Obsessions is going to be sponsoring the show soon.
Yes, Obsessions will be sponsoring
awesome.
The show.
Awesome. So I'm going to talk to you in a few minutes. Absolutely. I want to get Master Pereira in here. He's the one who put this together. McClinton, thank you guys for coming out, playing music, entertaining the people. Awesome. We're going to be playing more of their music during our shows. Thank you, Michael, Johnny, the band. For not blowing each other here. We appreciate that.
A little sense of decorum.
Mike, stick around.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now we have the man coming in. This is going to be the last interview we're going to do. Then we're going to get out of here because they got a dojo to run.
Oh, okay.
Master Prayer put this all together. You were the one, the brain trust. What was the inspiration? How'd you come up with it?
Well, Davin, when you see the high schoolers in your community bringing themselves down, bringing each other down to the level where they no longer value their life,
mm-hmm,
as you know, it was made public so often. I knew that we have to look at our kids and they're our foundation, And we need to make a difference. We need to make sure that they have the confidence to not let others bother them and not to make themselves feel good by picking on others.
Now, one of the things I noticed, we talked about this briefly yesterday, but I want you to explain this, that you guys are actually going, not only kids that are being bullied, you guys are also giving bullies martial arts. Make this seem normal to the average person.
Yes, yes. So most people might say, okay, so you're going to take the guys that are picking on others and you're going to teach them how to fight now. That's not really what SMA is about. At Success Martial Arts, the martial arts are used as a tool to reinforce the same life skills that parents teach at home. Things like self-control, discipline, focus, and respect. So a typical SMA martial artist never really goes out and is using their martial arts. They have the discipline and the positive attitude and the appreciation for others, not to pick on others.
Now, how do you know this, though? I've seen what Sensei Ferdico preaches, and I know what you preach, although I have never seen a lot. I know you guys are preaching the right way to live. But okay. is there in the back of your head, a little concerned, go, you know what, this kid was a real pain in the neck, and now I taught him how to kick people's butts, but more effectively. Yes. I mean, is there that concern?
Yeah, absolutely. What we're going to be doing with these funds is we're going to be using it to give private lessons. We're going to have our top instructors work privately with these kids to make sure that they're learning in the right way, mm-hmm. and it's making a positive difference for them. They're not going to take it back and use it negatively.
Here's the cool thing about training with one of the best instructors. If the kid gets out of line, the instructor can break
him. That's right. Yeah, that's right. We have some leverage on him.
It's pretty, bullies don't like getting their butts kicked. And I've seen their instructors. They can kick a butt.
Yeah, sure.
So now how does this work? You guys go into you're in the local schools. You tell them what's going on. Now, there was an issue because we wanted my daughter's friends wanted to participate in this, and they tried mm-hmm. to hand it out in the schools. In the past, they were allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. What happened this year? Because the principal wouldn't allow. What happened with that?
Unfortunately, for the past 11 years, the schools have allowed us to hand out literature. They've actually distributed for us things like Stranger Danger and Bully Awareness. Mm. My gut says because they invested in the Always program within their schools, and they're working on bullying from the interior. They didn't want outside for-profit facilities coming in and affecting what they're doing. So this has been really successful. We raised like $1,600 today.
That is awesome.
And, you help so much. Thank you so much.
No, you're very welcome.
And we're working towards creating a nonprofit organization that's going to benefit children on the local level. So hopefully we could work with the schools again.
So you guys are going to do this again next year?
Yeah. Yep. This is going to become a regular thing.
Well,
yes,
if you'd like us, if we're still around, we haven't killed each other.
We'll be around.
We'd love to
do it again.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Yep.
Hopefully I won't be away out of the country for 3 weeks like leading up to it.
Yeah. There you go.
I think this is great. I saw the kids. I heard some of the lectures and everything. Is this getting bigger every year?
Yeah. Yeah, this was really, really awesome. And I'm really thankful to you and to all
no
of our
problem.
Students for all their support and all the families that came out to help. We're going to make a big difference.
You got some pretty talented students. They're like flipping and jumping up in the air and kicking things high
yep.
up and everything.
Yep.
And I look at that cool. and like, wow, I just pulled a hamstring watching that.
Yep. yep. We're kicking out bullying for sure.
That is awesome. Now, have any of the kids, because you guys have been doing this for a while, have any of the kids reported back to you after like the lessons and everything? Have you seen it?
Oh yeah, that's how we know that the martial arts can make a positive difference. All the parents come back and
so let's end on a positive story. Let's end our show on give me an example of how these lessons, the martial arts, turned around a kid's life who is encountering all this bullying. How it helped out, so that people can know what exactly we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've had multiple parents come to us with their children unconfident. And as a result of it, getting bullied and not doing well in school. And it just carries over into their entire life. And we had one child who specifically that was doing really, really poorly in school. He was in middle school, and he was getting into trouble almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't doing well in school, about to bomb out of school. And he joined our after-school program. So we actually pick him up from the middle school at dismissal time and bring him over to us. And 7 months later, he got Most Academically Improved Award at
school.
Wow.
That's great.
That's awesome.
That's outstanding.
It was really, really powerful.
So now he's smart and kicking butt.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, it's all building confidence.
It's all interrelated. People think it's like just the physicality of it,
no.
But it's a lot more to it. It's the knowing you can do things.
Yes.
Learning a skill. skill or an art form, however you want to describe it, mm-hmm. and mastering it or growing and getting and taking the steps and seeing yourself improve, that gives you confidence. Like, wow, I couldn't do a front kick before, and now look at me. You know, I'm mm-hmm. doing a roundhouse and everything. And you take that lesson and you put that in other aspects of your life.
And your life, exactly. If you come up to something, well, I did this.
What are the chances can you can this? Help us? We have a lot of deficiencies.
Yeah. I wouldn't know where to start. To be honest. No.
He'll take on troubled youth, but not troubled old people.
Right, grab a the Davin Stead group is too much of a challenge, even for the censor.
Even the bullies are like, don't mess with them. They are way too crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, but like you were saying, the confidence that he built then, bullies were not apt to go towards him at that point. And even if they did, he felt good enough about himself that it wouldn't bother him. You know, that's the bottom line.
Well,
that's what it's about.
I think that's awesome. I love what you're doing. I know, what you and Sensei Ferdico are teaching has affected my child, who I'm going to have on here as our interview, because I promise her she'd make her
radio. It's going to be her first time, right?
It's going to be her first time. Sweet. She's waiting inside. Thank you for letting us participate with you.
Yes,
thank you very much. Success Martial Arts. We hope to do this again, and we hope we just keep on raising more money, and thank you for the good work you're doing.
Yes. Likewise. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
This was awesome. Thank you guys.
Thank you. All right, now we got to bring in my daughter.
I know. I just went out to see what she was doing, and she was so excited about how many.
Yeah, Skylar, sit.
Oh, sorry. She's so excited about how many ports she broke.
Yay!
Took one for the team.
All right, moseying up to the microphone.
Moseying.
My daughter. What's your name?
Skylar.
Skylar, how old are you, Skylar?
Six.
6 years old. What belt level are you?
I am yellow belt, and I am graduating to orange.
Are you excited about graduating?
Yes.
How many boards did you break today?
A lot, like 101 or something like that.
You know who's really thankful for that you broke all those boards?
Who?
Pip, Joe, and Davin. That's
yes,
thankful.
Yes, we are.
Because that means we didn't have to hurt ourselves. You're like a little ninja. So are you proud of yourself? You raised a lot of money. You helped us raise a lot of money. You proud of yourself?
Yes, I am.
What is now you've been taking... You've been taking karate for a while. What do you like most about taking karate class?
Well, learning and having fun, mostly.
Is it fun?
Yes.
And you've learned a lot? Do you feel confident?
Yes.
How about what Sensei taught you about bullying? Has that helped you a lot, too?
Yes.
So you would say martial arts is good for boys and girls?
I would say that.
That is awesome.
Hey, Skylar, tell me what you told me about the one board. What did you do with the one special board?
Well, what do you mean? Oh, slammed it.
On who?
On Daddy.
Where?
On his forehead.
Joe is extremely jealous that you got to do that.
He should. He should go back to being a kid.
So, Skylar, what have you thought about your radio debut? Is this fun?
Yes.
Is this something you would want to do?
Yes.
All right. Well, I am very proud of you. Thank you for helping.
We all are.
Thank you for helping Success Martial Arts fight bullying. Thank you for coming on Davin's Den and making our show a little better. And thank you for letting us participate on your team. Thank you, Skylar.
Thank you, Skylar.
You're welcome.
All right. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Not you, Michael.
Who's Michael?
Michael's the lead singer
Michael's
of McClinton.
Back there.
He was he's the one who was playing the song out there.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Looks a little different when he's just sitting there in a coat, right?
Looks a little scary with a coat on. Stay away from his van.
Thanks, Brian. Stay away. Nice. She's learning how to defend herself.
I know. He's writing a check, stupid. Shut up.
Wait until he's got the
no,
check.
No, because the van is very high. He's got big wheels. It's hard to get.
Wait until
good thing. I forgot about the money. What a jerk.
Wait until you got the check in your hand. How many times I got to tell you?
Oh, that's funny.
I know. I've taught him two things. Don't complain about the food until you have it on the table. Don't say anything about the sponsor until you got the check in your hand. Come on.
Speaking of sponsors,
yes.
let's thank the stations that let us take their air on a special time tonight. First, I want to thank Clutch and Wiggle Entertainment Radio.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Levy Land.
Oh, yeah.
Levy Land.
Thank you, Levy Land. Cyanet Radio. Thank you, Cyanet. TheHitZoneRadio.net. And also Wicked, who tried, but we had technical issues.
Oh.
So I got to get with Wicked tomorrow. But they did want to carry this. So I want to thank our friends over at Wicked. And you guys can check us out every Tuesday in all these stations. Also, you could check out the shows. I'll just do it. On DavinComedy.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can also check us out on iTunes, Davin's Den, Android app, Pod Almighty, and Stitcher. I think that's it, right?
Let's see. Cyanet uses TuneIn
Radio. The replays go up. I'm going to put the replay up. I don't have the video of it, though. But I'll put video clips.
And they'll be up on iTunes. We'll have them up on iTunes.
And Cyanet uses TuneIn Radio.
TuneIn Radio. Okay.
Okay. I think that's all of them.
Yeah. I'm just going to play our little music.
Thank you to everybody who sponsored us and our team.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for McClinton for coming out.
Yes.
Thank you for Chip Ambrosia Basement Chronicles coming out. Thank you to Walt of Jesters for coming out. Thank you, Pip and Joe, for ending the hiatus and bringing back a little sanity to my insanity.
Same here. Glad to be back. I needed it.
I look forward to doing this on Tuesday night with our regular debauchery and our regular awful things to say to each other. This was the Ting Show.
We will be bullying each other.
Exactly.
I did debauch a little while you were out of the room.
That's fine.
Dad liked it.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Tell no one.
Either way, keep on listening. Thank you, guys.
Good night.
Thanks.
Good afternoon.